Fuck you!
South America!
Australia!
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We are off and running for this 21st day of September 2018. What's the line from the Don Henley song? I feel it in the air. Summer's out of reach. From Boys of Summer. Yeah. Empty lake, empty sky, sun goes down alone. Well, the lake is not empty, at least not in North Carolina, at a coal-fired power plant near, upstream from Wilmington, adjacent to the Cape Fear River. No, not at all. A coal ash dam has breached there, and I was just watching drone footage of it, of the breach. It's not pretty, and it will have, frankly, terrifying ramifications for people who are downstream. But remember, coal keeps the lights on, in this case, in North Carolina, funeral homes. Didn't have to be this way. We could have retired coal years ago. And we could have done so sanely and humanely and with a little bit of respect and regard for the people who were economically displaced by it. But, well, the coal industry has a lot of power, and beyond power, they have money. And they spend their money on people like Mitch McConnell, Chinless Mitch, who we will probably be discussing later in the program. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It's Friday on the front porch here at the Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live, where I am told by Brother Deacon Asa, we are kicking it old school on both streams. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. By both streams, he means, of course, the White Rose Society stream and the HeadOn.live stream, which feeds all the other platforms where you can get this program, whether it be on a Roku device or whether it be on Stitcher or TuneIn, podcasts or at YouTube and Podbean.com and of course, iTunes and golly Moses. We try to be ubiquitous. I don't know if we're there yet. And some, I don't know, maybe I'm not even using ubiquitous correctly. Who knows? But we do. We try. Okay, so we have plenty to talk about this evening. It is, of course, Friday on the front porch. That means that in about 55, 56 minutes or so, we will fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. It's in an old, great big old hollered-out tree. We use the wood from the hollered-out tree to make the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, and we sublet it from the Keebler Elves. But it's a little bit of radio unlike any other kind of radio you're likely to find, because most radio roundtables include people who talk with their teeth clenched and have gold chains and chest hair and say, and say things like, "Heavens to Murgatroyd, Throckmorton, I cannot believe you said that." I saw this morning, engaging in the filthy little habit that Agnes and I have, they had William the Bloody Crystal on the panel, and I thought somebody might be about to punch him in the mouth, which would have been, that would have been some must-see TV. I'd have chipped in $5 for it. But no, didn't work out that way. But in about 55 minutes or so, we'll get the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable going. The standard instructions apply. If you've never been on the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable panel before and you'd like to try, just send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunk, Sparky Dunk, on Skype, and he'll show you the breadcrumb trail to the old hollowed-out tree, and pay no attention to the tourist traps there that the Keebler elves have put up to try to... Right. Yeah. But anyway, we have thanks to extend this evening because we have subscribers who take care of about 25% of the Horn's operating costs every month. And so thanks very kindly to those subscribers. In particular, on this particular day, the 21st of the month, thanks to Joan in Tallahassee, and thanks to David up in Vermont. Thank you. Thank you to both of you. Very kindly indeed. And thanks to Mary in Maryland for jumping in. Mary in Maryland took down our fundraising goal a little bit from, not a little bit, took it down from last night. And so I can proudly announce that the fundraising goal for the evening, to finish the week and to finish the month of September, so that we can have fundraising-free radio next week, the fundraising goal is $720. Yeah, I know, that's a little bit steep. That's only 72 people at $10 apiece if everybody wanted to subscribe for the 21st of the month, but that's not probably going to happen. Nonetheless, $720 is the fundraising goal. That represents about 2.5 days of funding for the week, a little over 2.5 days. But there's good news. Over the course of the last 24 hours, I have heard from our buddy Chris in Germany and our buddy Gary and Gaia out in Oregon. And I can tell you that we have $150 in matching challenges on the table. Now, this only works if people match it. So that's 15 people at $10 a piece, or 10 people at $15 a piece, or one at $150, two at $75, three at $50, six at $25, 12 at $12.50. But you get the idea. And if we can get that challenge taken care of, that'll get us down to only $420 to close the week and the month of September, so we can again have fundraising free radio. Okay? So, I'll cross my fingers, and maybe you'll cross yours, and hopefully we will kick that big old deficit right in the teeth. Okay, that's where everything stands. If you want to help out, of course, the PayPal interface and the Patreon button are both over at headon.live. All you have to do is click it and go from there. And a reminder, if you decide to subscribe via Patreon, well, your contribution will not come out until the first day of October. So that's kind of, you know, might make the bookkeeping a little easier too, make it easier for folks to remember. Now, here's another thing. If you want to participate in Friday on the Front Porch and you cannot access Skype, we do have one telephone number here, the Stress Line, named after the inimitable Bill Mr. Stress Miller, gone but not forgotten by any stretch of the imagination. And you can get into the conversation that way. Area code 304-640-2829. Area code 304-640-2829. Or toll free, 844-843-4676. 844-THE-HORN. And we'll get it all up and running, like I said, in about 50 minutes or so. But, yeah, a few minutes ago I was watching drone footage of a coal ash dam that is breached. And coal filth, coal poison, coal toxin, because there's no clean way to deal with coal from the extraction process all the way to the final combustion. And after the combustion, into the crap it puts into the air and the water and the ground, there's just no way to burn coal and not kill people. So it was last night when Duke Energy put out a high-level emergency alert from floodwaters that were pouring into the north end of a cooling pond that they call Sutton Lake. And Sutton Lake probably has in it some of the literally hundreds of tons of coal ash that spilled when a previous landfill breached in the aftermath of Florence. Well, the sun rose on this day, the 21st of September, and Duke Energy then announced that the dam that they had built and built without considering the fact that we live in a time when hurricanes are getting more intense and bigger and wetter. It's one of the wettest hurricanes in terms of wetness and water. No, the President of the United States actually said that this week, and I wish I was making it up because it would mean that I was just clowning around. But Julius Geezer actually said it's got a lot of water, and it's one of the wettest hurricanes in terms of wetness. The President of the United States actually announced to the people of the United States that water was wet. I know. By the way, yesterday came and went, the 20th, and I didn't get my text message from the emergency alert system, did you? Did somebody wise up and say, hey, no, let's don't? You know, considering the sleazy things that he's prone to say and the fact that he's backed into a corner and he's like a, oh, I don't know, he's like a rabid, let me think of an animal. I like almost all animals. I was going to say a rabid skunk, but skunks are kind of sweet apart from the stinking and everything. He's like a rabid shit weasel backed into the corner of the sty right now, and maybe the folks over there at the emergency alert notification system decided it might not be a good... Or maybe they just tested it internally and said, yeah, it works, okay, that's cool, great. But I didn't get my text. If you got yours, I'd love to know. I'd love to know all about it. But, yeah, today, because act of God, certainly not an act of negligence by Duke Energy or anything. Oh, no, heavens to Murgatroyd, no, not that. The dam that separated the Cape Fear River from the cooling pond that they call Lake Sutton, it broke. It breached. And Lake Sutton began pouring out into the Cape Fear River, which isn't where the Cape Fear River is supposed to be, and the river levels of the Cape Fear River continue to rise as a result of the rainfall from Hurricane Florence. The Associated Press reached out, and Duke Energy reluctantly said, well, coal ash may be flowing into the Cape Fear River. Floodwaters also overtopped a steel retaining wall containing one of three large coal ash dumps down in the lake shore. That's going to be just great. I can, Brother Deacon Asa. You say you can't, but I can. Brother Deacon Asa says, I can't wait for Trump's educational series on how warm heat is. let's see. Randy in PA says, the EAS text message, like I previously told you via email, was rescheduled for October 3rd. I must have missed that. Okay, yeah, everybody telling me it's rescheduled for October 3rd. Well, that's just as well, because Geezer discussed us today, sent out his own emergency alert tweet trying to inform America that Dr. Christine Blasey Ford has made it all up, and that if she'd really been assaulted by a young paragon of virtue and Solomon in the making, Brett Kavanaugh, back north of three decades ago, that her wonderful parents would have involved the FBI. No, he said that. They would have called the FBI. Even though, of course, it would not have been an FBI matter back then. Because it wasn't a federal matter. The background check is a federal matter. But yes, that's right. Geezer discussed us. Julius Geezer, the Chlamydia Claudius, the Clementine Caligula. He stood all he could stood and couldn't stood no more. And he lashed out at a woman for having the temerity to speak up when she had had both her physical integrity and her dignity assaulted by a guy who wants to sit on the Supreme Court. Right. This is allegedly not sitting well among those who are not particularly pleased about it is noted Republican centrist Susan Collins.
I was appalled by the president's tweet. First of all, we know that allegations of sexual assault, I'm not saying that's what happened in this case, but we know that allegations of sexual assault are one of the most unreported crimes that exist. So I thought that the president's tweet was completely inappropriate and wrong.
Do you think that Ms. Ford should be allowed to testify? She said she can't do Monday, right? But people are saying Monday's not an option. Should she still be allowed to sometime later in the week? What's your feeling on that?
I think we should try to accommodate Professor Ford within the realm of reasonableness. Obviously, she can.
Yes.
Within the realm of reasonableness.
Well, what's reasonable, Sue? You know what's not reasonable? The fact that you're still out there shadow boxing with the idea that you might vote for this scumbag. Yeah, she was. It was completely inappropriate. Now, wait, this is how it plays out.
It was completely inappropriate and wrong for Donald Trump to tweet what he did, but I can't hold that against a good man like Brett Kavanaugh, so that's why I'll be voting for him, regardless of whatever it was that he did to that young woman. And, of course, allegations of sexual assault are underreported and they're very serious, but I'm still going to vote for Brett Kavanaugh because the only thing I have is a reputation for being a centrist. I don't actually ever do centrist things, and mostly for the I'm just a little lick spittle for Mitch McConnell. That's what I am. I'm a centrist moderate lick spittle who votes like every other hardcore white-wing zealot in the Republican Senatorial Caucus. Okay, do we understand each other now?
Tell me I'm wrong. Yeah. So that's that part of it. Lisa Murkowski is still being being pressured by the governor of Alaska and the native peoples of Alaska to vote against Kavanaugh because Kavanaugh is openly hostile to indigenous people in this country. But it's that time of year again. It's Values Voters Summit time in Washington, D.C. Yes. The Values Voters have descended upon the nation's capital, and they were addressed by Chinless Mitch McConnell today. Remember, the Values Voters are those white-wing evangelical types who they have a Values Voters Summit because, see, they've got values. The rest of us are just heathens. But they, by God, have some values. What do they value, the Values Voters? Well, they value kidnapping children and putting them in cages. They value supporting and exacerbating a war against innocent people in, say, Yemen. That's what they value. They value having a member of the Supreme Court who they can feel comfortable will take away a woman's right to choose. Mm-hmm. They got some real values, those values voters. You betcha they do. Mm-hmm. But Mitch McConnell showed up, chinless Mitch, and he spoke to the values voters, and he promised those evangelical freaks that he and the Republicans in the Senate would, and this is a quote, transform the judiciary. The circuit courts are where most complex decisions are made. We've appointed 26 court judges. This is the fastest pace in the history of our country. It will be more before the end of the year. These are lifetime appointments. If you want to have a long-term impact on what type of country we're going to have, the single most consequential thing we can do is these lifetime appointments who believe that a job of the judge is to follow the law. But that was that wasn't really the high point of the address. The part that really got the primates from the Values Voter Summit hopping up and down real good and hooting, shrieking, and flinging poo in abject bliss, I might add. Was when he said, in no uncertain terms, mark my words, Brett Kavanaugh will be on the Supreme Court in the very near future. Not may, but will. In other words, telling the values voters and the world that the fix is in. That it doesn't matter if it turns out that Dr. Christine Blasey Ford has videos, photos, and 8x10 color glossy photographs with circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one. Republicans simply don't care. They don't care whether they put a rapist on the Supreme Court. Because power and politics are more important than any notion of decency or Christianity or patriotism. But I'm just saying something that you already know and I already know. Party first. Party over all things. And there's only one way to stop them. And that is to not let them have power anymore. And make no mistake, it's a high bar. But bear in mind, if the blue wave should happen to materialize on November the 6th, and if the Senate does fall into Democratic hands, and we're not just talking about, I mean, even by one vote. Please let it be more than one vote, because that one vote would be Joe fucking Manchin. Just maybe there might be a little bit of a palace coup over in the Republican caucus, and they might ditch Mitch. which would be quite interesting. But then, like I said, there would be work cut out for us because we would have to make sure that the Senate Democrats understood, in no uncertain terms, that Donald Trump doesn't get to appoint anything that requires Senate consent for the rest of his presidency, period. At all. Those 26 judges that Chinless Mitch was braying about, well, that's the last 26 judges. No more. That's more than enough for a man implicated in no less than 4 felonies to be able to appoint. But the values voters, that's just a hoot. The values voters were really wowed by somebody they hadn't heard from in a while. I guess the Values Voter Summit is having a hard time coming up with A-list speakers. So they invited Michelle Batshit Crazy Bachman, who holds no office whatsoever, to come and address the group. And what she said is now being referred to, because, oh my God, she trended today on social media. Maybe it was the Sheena Wingnut of the Jungle off-the-shoulder dress that she wore. Who knows? There are several Christian sects out there that would say that she was a downright Jezebel for dressing like that. I'm not saying that. She's a woman. She can dress any way she wants to. Or not at all. Ain't none of my business. That's fine. But she showed up, and yes, she delivered what is being referred to as the Golden Hour speech. And what a speech. What a speech it was. Let's see if we can get the damn thing to roll. Come on, batshit. There she goes.
Probably one of the greatest threats that we are dealing with today is the loss of religious liberty and the loss of free speech. Look at the internet, for instance. Look at Google. Look at Facebook. Look at Twitter. Look at Instagram. The big story of this election is really twofold. On one hand, you have massive amounts of false information going through the mainstream media outlets day after day after day.
Yeah, not like that false information back in 2016, things like stories with headlines like Pope Francis endorses Donald Trump. No, not that. The false information she's talking about is false information like, oh, Donald Trump is implicated in at least 4 federal felonies. That kind of false information. You know, the kind of false information that isn't false.
And we know it's provably false information. On the other hand, we know that the social media sites...
Wait, hold on, batshit. Hold on. Can we at least have an example? No? Well, okay.
Restricted freedom of speech and expression... that there was even a poll done recently that said traffic to conservative sites is down 93%. Not by choice, but because the masters of the universe, the tech titans of the Facebooks, the Instagrams, the Twitters, the social media, the YouTubes, have decided our voice is not a legitimate voice.
Now, no, that's not the decision that was made at all there, 1L Michelle. The decision was made is that y'all have a decided tendency to lie. And of course you do. because you're Christians. Evangelical Christians lie all the time. But, well...
this is just the beginning stages. If you read last night, there was an article that came out because the former CEO of Google, Eric Schmidt, said that within 10 years, there will be two internets. There will be one controlled by China because, you see, these tech titans have essentially sold their souls to China.
Now, you're saying it wrong there, 1L. China. China.
China is the biggest censor that there is, and the rising level of religious persecution in China is unlike anything that we have seen in modern times. Only now they have the advantage as an...
Wait, where do I go in China to get tickets to the Great Colosseum of Guangzhou? Are there lions, tigers, bears? Yeah, oh well. Wait, I bet that's not even happening.
Electronic dictator or tyrant to literally tie people up by the use of artificial intelligence, where they can have facial recognition of people's faces, global positioning so they know where everyone is, and the restrictions on freedom of speech, etc. And now these...
Yeah, it's the restrictions on the etc. that will probably bring down civilization. Because when you've lost your et cetera, well, really, what's left? Yes, yes, Clarity. Cray-Cray Bachman, the Sarah Palin archetype, or vice versa. I know.
Tech titans, the Googles of the world, are helping countries like China develop social profiles on people.
Ooh, she used dick fingers for social profiles. Brother Deacon Asa asks, does Michelle O'Bachman know that some of the most rabid bro culture Gamergate right-wingers sit on those tech boards of directors? Are you kidding? Michelle of the Jungle here doesn't know which day's ending. Why? I mean, if her brains were gas, she wouldn't have enough to run a piss ant's motorcycle halfway around a BB. It is that bad. Real, real bad. The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down. Of the nut job they call that shit Bachman. Yeah. Okay. There's one way to prevent the singing. And I'm proud to say that we have we've taken out $10 of the $150 worth of challenges on the table. And thank you very kindly to our old pal Jug of Punch for doing that. So we got $140 to go to $90 to go to finish Chris's challenge, and then another $50 to go to finish Gary and Gaia's. So we're off and running. Hopefully, Jug of Punch will get some company. Darlene in Connecticut, subject line: Mitch. Saw this today and had to share. Thought it was one of the best descriptions of Chinless Mitch I've seen yet. Written by Michael Winship, who's the Schumann senior writing fellow for Common Dreams. There's Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, that sanctimonious mock turtle of prevarication and false rectitude, tut-tutting. Oh, that's an article I got to read. Thank you, Darlene. It's over at, you can find it at rawstory.com. Republicans may finally face truth, deceit, rotten political corruption. Scott, meanwhile, says... No, Kavanaugh in court may mean lukewarm evangelical November turnout. Evangelical leaders are frustrated at GOP caution on Kavanaugh allegation. Worried their chance to... Wait a minute, this needs the voice. Worried their chance to cement a conservative majority on the Supreme Court could slip away. a growing number of evangelical and anti-abortion leaders are expressing frustration that Senate Republicans and the White House are not protecting Judge Brett M. Kavanaugh more forcefully from a sexual assault allegation and warning that conservative voters may stay home in November if his nomination falls apart. In other words, the followers of the Prince of Peace want a full-out onslaught of Christians making death threats against Dr. Ford and screaming the word slut at her. Ron in Raleigh with a note. Can you imagine Donald Trump with a Democratic majority for 2 years? Can you imagine the hooting and stomping and tantrums the toddler would throw? I have my doubts that the Dems would play hardball with these bastards. Mitch will still control the Senate. The House will still be the Wild West. They'll stand and scream, but, well, you buy the ticket and you take the ride. We know what we get for the next 2 years with what's here. If not a full pumping, you get at least a tapping of the brakes if the Democrats can take control of the House and Senate. But I love the idea that maybe, because see, this is a little known fact, but it is a fact. There is no small number of Republican senators who don't dislike Mitch McConnell. They hate him. They despise him. They don't revere him. They fear him. Because that's how authoritarian regimes operate. Not from respect or regard or any sense of actual leadership, but from plain old boring garden variety terror. Right? Yeah. So it's worth bearing in mind that if he loses the Senate, he may lose his job. There may be, like I said, a palace coup. Okay, so I just got another note from Jug of Punch, who said, have a doppelganger. Well, now, I'll match after the first 150 with another 150 on top of my $10. Whoa. So if we can knock down the 150, Jug of Punch will kick in a 150, and that will have knocked out $350. No, $450 of the 720 that we need to raise. So, okay, that's serious. And I'm proud to say that we have now knocked out $60 of the 100, of Chris's $100 challenge. That leaves 40 plus 50 from Gary and Gaia. And that will, there's $90 to go to finish the challenge. That brings another 150 into it, at which point we're down to 270. Is my math right? I think it is. I'm never sure. But that's pretty impressive. So if we can raise another $90, we will take everything down to $270 to go to finish the week, and that'll be almost down to nothing but today. And that is tremendous. Because there's a rather terrifying bill waiting to be paid. Of course, when you run independent progressive media, all the bills are terrifying. Note coming from Flavio. First they came for etc., then they came for Et Al., then us. First they came for etc. But I was not etc. Yeah, right. Our buddy Charlie in Tennessee says, like I said, if the ignorant, stupid shit farmers in Kentucky face a drought, we need to send these ignorant fucks salt. This is the best way to rid us of Mitch. You know, that raises an issue. Because I was thinking, sometimes we think along the same lines, the community, we all do. We are not Borg. What would the opposite of Borg be? We are Grob. Resistance is funny. Or resistance sounds funny. And with all due respect to dear friends in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, many of whom have been sharing in the program for about as long as we've been doing the program. Well, the hell's wrong with people down there? Granted, you haven't had the best opponents to run against him. The last time he faced even a reasonable challenge. What did the Democrats do? They ran Republican light against him. Yeah, they ran a pro-coal, middle-of-the-road, Joe Manchin-style woman. And I don't say that pejoratively. I mean, Alison Lundergan Grimes just happened to be a female. But she really didn't put a hell of a lot of space between her and Mitch. I wish it were otherwise. Unfortunately, it isn't. Okay, I missed the... I thought that was just an extra consonant, but no. Flavio included USW. Und so weiter. Und so weiter. German and so on. Well, my German doesn't extend quite that far. I don't know quite what you mean. Charlie says PayPal's no longer set up to let me donate to the Horn directly. What's going on? Brother Deacon Asa checked the PayPal button at headon.live not long back, and it seemed to be working fine. Brother Deacon Asa, you want to take a look at that? Anyway, let's go back to... let's go back to batshit crazy, shall we? Yeah, for some reason or another, the site crashed. Or yeah, maybe they... Working. All right, now. Let's scrub forward to where we were. And, you know, get the hockey puck.
Congress issued a subpoena, they issued an invitation for these tech titans to come and speak to them. One company chose just to blow it off, Google. And is it because they're such trillion-dollar companies now that they see themselves bigger than the government that gave them life here in this nation? I don't know. But I do know as I look at all of that, as I look at all of this nonsense that's on TV and the news night after night after night, this is what the response, I believe, is now for our time. As the Benham brothers did, we open up the Word of God. We see what the Word of God says.
The Who brothers?
I'm speaking to a believing audience now. But I believe the most powerful tool that is in front of us, and I want to urge every single person in this...
I believe with every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows. Yeah. I'm talking to an audience of believers. again, this is an audience of believers, all right? This is an audience that believes the best place for a child, at least a, you know, Hispanic one, fleeing horror and torture and murder in, say, Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras. That's an audience of believers that believes what that child needs is a little time in a cage, having been kidnapped from its mom and dad. Golly Moses, I love me some Christian values, don't you? Yeah, it's an audience of believers. Go on, batshit, tell us some more.
This room to utilize, especially for the next 7 weeks, because we have a very consequential midterm in front of us 7 weeks from now. We, 2 years ago, I believe that the prayers that God's people made to ask God for his provision were heard. They were heard and granted, and for 2 years, we have lived in an unparalleled golden time in the United States.
I warned you about the hockey puck. Don't say I didn't give out the warning. The nightmare that has enveloped this nation since January the 20th, 2017, has been a two-year golden wow. Wow. ...2,975 excess dead in Puerto Rico. Golden. Children in cages. Golden. Open, obvious conspiracies to subvert the government and the electoral processes of the United States. Golden. Millions of dollars filched from FEMA for suffering Americans and given to the ICE thugs to help them cage the aforementioned kidnapped children. Golden. Is it any wonder that Christianity, especially evangelical Christianity, is fading and not growing? Is it any wonder that people who were Christians and followers of the Prince of Peace are like, nah, I'm out. I'm done. Like Daniel Day-Lewis at the end of There Will Be Blood. Done now. Is it any wonder?
...7 weeks. Because we have a very consequential midterm in front of us 7 weeks from now. 2 years ago, I believe that the prayers that God's people made to ask God for his provision were heard. They were heard and granted, and for 2 years, we have lived in an unparalleled golden time in the United States. You'd never know that if you turned on MSNBC or CNN.
Yeah, you'd never know that if you were living in a cage in some godforsaken hellhole concentration camp in Texas or Arizona. You'd never know that. You wouldn't know that we were in a golden time. That's very true. Our buddy Les just sent me a quote. When the Republican Party sends its people, they're not sending the best. They're sending people that have lots of problems. And they're bringing those problems to Washington. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people. Yeah, I think that's an awfully hopeful assumption now, isn't it?
But we are living in an unparalleled golden time. Why do I say that? We have the president who's made the most pro-life actions of any president ever.
Clap, monkeys.
We have a president who has been the most pro-Israel president ever in the history of the United States of America.
I got a question. Just one more question, ma'am, and then I'll go. I mean, Mrs. Colombo needs the car. How does it help an American who needs to go to the doctor when he's sick to have a pro-Israel president? How exactly does that work, ma'am? How does it help a little child in a cage to have a pro-Israel president? I mean, is it because we're learning how to cage children from the Israelis? I'm just confused, ma'am.
Our president has put the United States on a pathway of blessing, a singular pathway of blessing.
How about that? Oh, yeah, let's put Colombo away. How about that? Apparently, you get blessed if you shit on children. Somehow or another, I missed that in the numerous times that I've read the entire Bible. The part about getting blessed, a nation getting blessed for shitting all over children. But, well, I mean, they wouldn't lie. Yes, they would.
We have the most pro-religious liberty president in the history of the United States.
Even though no president has ever taken any steps to try to shut down the religion industry. Somehow or another, this irreligious man who wouldn't, would be best off not to walk into any through any church doors, because if that deity happens to be real, you know, it might be one of those lightning bolt moments, but probably not, because he's not. That's just, you know, that's how that goes. But, you know, they don't have much brains to begin with, those values voters, and they didn't bring them with them to D.C. They did bring money to pay for hookers with. Remember, the Values Voters Summit weekend in Washington, D.C. is one of your better weekends for your sex workers. Now, and the more willing you are to do the kinkier sorts of things, well, the better time that you have financially, economically, when the values voters come to town. Honey, all you got to do is put on this Jerry Falwell mask. I mean, that's all. All right, it's another $100. Praise Jesus. Little woman won't do it back in Tehachapi, so I guess I'll have to pay the $100. Yeah. Well, okay, can I at least get a bargain? I mean, if I give you the $100 for the Falwell mask, can I get a Reagan mask for another $50? Another $100. Wait, it's $150 because you've got a little bit of dignity? So it's $250 for the Falwell mask and the Reagan mask, and the Reagan mask is $150? Well, I can tell the little woman it was a donation to a women's shelter. That's what we'll do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Values, voters. Values.
He is doing more to advance religious liberty, not just in America, but globally.
Well, I mean, as James in Illinois points out, you might want to check in with the Muslims as far as that religious liberty horse shit goes, you know. Yeah. Ron in Raleigh says, we can feel good about being pro-Israel because we're paying for their single-payer health care system. Praise Jeebus. Yeah.
We have the best vice president we could have ever had in Mike Pence.
But Mike would not stand in the same room with you unless Mother was president. Especially what with you wearing that, displaying that one bare shoulder there, like one of them harlots Mother's talking about all the time. Um, Robert in Australia says, this religious BS does not fly in Australia. And I'm so happy about that. Try a speech like that in Oz, anywhere it's except at Hillsong, and you'll probably get empty beer cans thrown at you. Some of our pollies visit the Hillsong Corporation before elections. It goes underreported. That's a hell of a selling point for Australia, Robert, whether you realize it or not. Note coming from Dave in Talibandiana. Is Michelle Bachmann's cross a rental, or did she buy that used? Time to stick her in a tomb. Who knows? In 3 days, they might start a brand new religion out there in that conference. Just a thought. Signed, your buddy Dave. Well, whether it's bought or rented, she apparently shinnies up it better than a monkey up a tree. And gets to nailing. So let's do a quick update. Again, thanks to everybody jumping in to help. Let's see, where were we? $70 away. And again, thanks very kindly to Charlene and to Jack in Shreveport. Charlene said, hold on here. Charlene said, let's clean this up on the changing of the seasons. Best to you. Thank you, Charlene. So, I'm doing ciphering in my head. Henry got us to 135 on the challenges. Steve from North Carolina pushed us over the top, 155. And checking the PayPal link on the website, Brother Deacon Asa says, works just dandy. 175. Libby takes us to $200. I used to feel more enraged than I do now. Sense of humor is most imperative in these crazy days. The whack job YouTubers used to say that CERN had unleashed demons and we were all fucked. What a fucking nightmare. Resist. Don't let the bastards take us down. There are some good people. Stay strong. We will win, hopefully. Thank you, Libby. So, Chris's challenge has been met. Gary and Gaia's challenge has been met. Plus $50, which triggers the challenge from our buddy Jug of Punch, which means that, let's see. We're down to $220 to go to finish the week. That's awesome and inspiring. Meanwhile, Tracy just sent me a note. Here's another challenge. Call it the fuck. It's Friday, Tracy's $25 challenge. So Tracy will put up $25 if somebody else will kick in another $25. And that, in turn, will take us down to $170 to go to finish the week. That's breathtakingly wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. So $25 gets matched. That takes us to $170. And maybe in the next 2 hours we can knock out $170. That's fan-freaking-tastic. And takes a load off my mind that, well, doesn't even bear mentioning. Laurel, who of late has been competing with me for the Little Ray of Sunshine trophy, said about a half an hour ago, simply put, failure on November the 6th will mean that America, at this very moment, is 6.5 weeks away from its last peaceful act. I hope you're wrong. I would like to not see this country devolve into horror and bloodshed. Because, well, the people who suffer in those situations are not usually the people that one would like to, well, not like to, just bloodshed, you know? Okay, I'm just trying to get some things organized here because I don't know, haven't seen Sparky. And I had a note from him with a link to the upcoming debate between Beto and Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America that takes place. Well, I guess it's starting right about now. And so that should be interesting. And there's a little side note. There's a little side note that goes with that. As they're as the debate is opening, and let's see. Let me do this real quick. Hopefully, this might be a live link to. Damn it. Having some keyboard problems here. One second. All right, let me see if I can get this rolling. We can check in periodically. And by the way, Tracy's challenge has been met. That is tremendous. Thank you very, very much indeed. Thank you, James. I'm looking to see. Hold on here. Thank you, Libby, for jumping in again. Thank you, Ralphs, for jumping in. So, all told now, we are down to 160 to go after Tracy's challenge. And I just had a note from Darlene in Connecticut saying, after Tracy's challenge is met, I'll cover the $100 remaining if somebody does the 70 of the remaining 170. Well, that's now 60. We raise another 60 and Darlene will wipe it out and we'll be done, not just for this week, but for the month of September. And we will have trashed Fitzwalker Stan once again for the ninth month. So that's a pretty big damn deal. I have not heard back from Sparky. I don't know. Maybe there was a medical appointment this evening or something. I do, however, have the Beto debate up and running. Oh, dear. Ted Raffaellito's pounding on things.
U.S. citizenship to 12 million people who are here illegally, I think, is a serious mistake. I think Congressman O'Rourke is out of step with Texas on that.
Representative?
I'll tell you about being out of step with Texas. Senator Cruz has sponsored legislation that would have this country build a 2,000-mile wall, 30 feet high, at a cost of $30 billion. And that wall will not be built on the international border between the United States and Mexico, which is the center line of the Rio Grande. It'll be built on someone's farm, someone's ranch, someone's property, someone's homestead, using the power of eminent domain to take their property at a time of record security and safety on the border. Senator John Cornyn and I introduced legislation that would invest in our ports of entry, where the vast majority of everyone and everything that comes into this country first crosses. Knowing who and what come in here makes us safer. It allows us to lead on the issues of immigration reform.
Representative, quick follow-up for you. You've addressed the Dreamers. Do you think anyone who is undocumented living here should have a path to citizenship?
There are millions of people in this country who are working the toughest jobs. And we were in Roscoe at a cotton gin with 24 jobs, every single one of them worked by someone who came to this country. Not a person born in Roscoe or nearby Sweetwater willing to do that work. That's the story of Texas and of this country. We need to bring people out of the shadows, allow them to get right by law. And yes, there should be an earned path to citizenship. The alternative, as Senator Cruz has proposed, is to deport 11 million people from this country. Imagine the cost. Imagine the stain on our conscience going forward for the generations who look back at this moment.
Representative, that's your time. Thank you.
Senator Cruz, this question is to you. This month in Dallas, Officer Amber Geiger shot Botham John, a black man, in his own apartment. Why did you caution Representative O'Rourke and others not to jump to conclusions in this case when the Texas Rangers and the Dallas County District Attorney said she committed manslaughter?
What happened to Mr. John was horrific. Nobody should be in their own home and be shot and killed in their own home. It was tragic.
Tragic.
Now, the officer, as I understand it, has contended that it was a tragic mistake. It was a case where she thought she was in her own apartment. She thought he was an intruder. Right now, today, I don't know what happened that evening. Congressman O'Rourke doesn't know what happened that evening. But he immediately called for firing the officer. I think that's a mistake. Look, we have a criminal justice system, that will determine what happened that night.
Well, we will return to this periodically as Raffaellito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, begins to slowly melt down like a wax dummy in the heat at Madame Tussauds. And eventually, if there's a God in heaven, we'll LARP a booger on national TV for us all to be horrified by. As it stands, thank you, Roberto. We are now down to $50 to go to finish, meet the threshold at which Darlene will just wipe the rest of it out. $50 to go, and thank you very kindly, Roberto. I'm not hearing back from Sparky, and that's true. Brother Deacon Asa says, I think Raffaellito is chewing on his own liver on the inside at the moment. Beto is articulate beyond words. Raffaellito is always going to sound shitty, snotty, and hateful. That's pretty much his default position. It kind of comes with the territory when you're an evangelical Christian, as we heard from Batshit Crazy there a little bit ago. But anyway, let's fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. I will try not to screw it up. If you want to participate in this evening's Friday on the Front Porch conversation, well then, by Jove, fire up your Skype, or if you can't use Skype, use the phone. Area code 304-640-2829 or 844-843-4676. And then Well, on Skype, though, usually you have to contact Bob Kincaid Horn. Bob Kincaid Horn. And that's not the... I mean, usually you have to contact Sparky. In this instance, however, Bob Kincaid Horn is the contact because it looks like I'll be driving the bus this evening for Friday on the front porch. And hopefully we'll get some folks and get it going and have some folks engaging in the conversation this evening. Sparky usually does he does a magnificent job managing all of this. Me, I gotta see if I, well, the new Skype interface, who knows what may happen. Hey, Tracy, So you'll have to just kind of, it'll take me a minute or two. While we're doing all of this, though, we'll bring up some debate.
But I'll tell you something. I've been to too many police funerals. I was here in Dallas.
Oh, God, he's
going to
wave the bloody shirt.
Officers were gunned down because of irresponsible and hateful rhetoric. I was at the funeral in Houston at Second Baptist Church where Deputy Goforth had been shot in the back of the head at a service station because of irresponsible and hateful rhetoric. Just now, Congressman O'Rourke repeated things he knows aren't true. He stated, for example, white police officers are shooting unarmed African-American children. The Washington Post fact-checked that claim and conclude Congressman O'Rourke was wrong. But I'll tell you something.
Wait, what? Huh? Am I to understand that Tamir Rice was strapping? Because I'm pretty sure he was an unarmed African-American children when the Cleveland police officers blew him away within 2 minutes of arriving on the scene. Unless we're going to say having a toy pistol now constitutes being armed. Jesus, Raffaellito, you're disgusting.
This is your trick in the trade, to confuse and to incite based on fear and not to speak the truth. This is a very serious issue, and it warrants the truth and the facts.
All right, so Representative O'Rourke, this question is for you. It's about the national anthem protest. Polls show that most Americans don't think that NFL players should be kneeling during the national anthem, even if they believe that they have the right to do so. But you have said there's nothing more American than protesting for your rights. What do you say to people who claim that you're out of step with most Texans on this issue?
I mentioned just a minute ago, members of law enforcement are not sworn to serve and to protect only some people. They're sworn to protect and serve everyone in a given community. Those service members who put their lives on the line, who are serving tonight in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Syria, they swear not to a man or to a group of people in this country. But they swore to support and to defend the Constitution of the United States of America, the Constitution for all of us. The civil rights marchers who took their lives into their hands crossing the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama, some beaten to within an inch of their lives. Those who lost their lives in the Deep South to the racism of America at the time. Those freedom riders who had the audacity to take Greyhound buses in the Deep South, using the bathrooms or the water fountains of their choice, knowing full well that it would end up in the Mississippi State Penitentiary, Parchman, as it did for John Lewis. They marched not just for themselves, but for everyone. And when now we have injustice in this country, two sets of criminal justice systems, depending on your race, your ethnicity, and your color, that prison population that I talked about that is disproportionately comprised of people of color, too many unarmed African-American men losing their lives in this country, to peacefully protest that injustice nonviolently and to call attention to that, to prick the conscience of this country so that those in positions of public trust and power will finally do something, standing up not just for your rights but everyone's rights in this country. There's nothing more American than that.
That's your time, Congressman. I'm going to have to ask again for the audience to please, please refrain from reacting and applause, okay? We need to get through a lot of questions here.
Because after all, it's not fair to Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, because, well, nobody really claps for him. He's kind of pathetic that way.
Legislation was passed with the overwhelming support of Republicans, and indeed, the Dixiecrats who were imposing Jim Crow, the Dixiecrats who were beating those protesters were Democrats. And that's one of the reasons I'm proud to be a member of the Party of Lincoln, a member that stands for equal rights for everyone, regardless of what race, what ethnicity. Every human being is a creation of God that our Constitution protects. But nowhere in his answer did he address the fact that when you have people during the national anthem taking a knee, refusing to stand for the national anthem, that you're disrespecting the millions of veterans, the millions of soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines that risk and fight and die to protect that flag and to protect our liberty. And to be clear, everyone has a right to protest. You have a right to speak. But you could speak in a way that doesn't disrespect the flag, that doesn't disrespect the national anthem. And I'll tell you, those civil rights protesters would be astonished.
What a lying sack of shit. Nobody's disrespecting
the flag. Dr. King, that's not something Dr. King stood for. He stood
Senator
for justice
Cruz.
Without disrespecting the men and women who fight for this country.
You heard Senator Cruz's answer. First of all, he again tried to mislead you by taking a peaceful protest during the national anthem to burning a flag. No one here, myself included, has suggested that anyone should be doing that. He also grounded his answer in partisanship, talking about the GOP being better than the Democrats. Listen, I could care less about either party at this moment. At this deeply divided, highly polarized time in our history, this moment calls for all of us, regardless of party or any other difference of race or sexual orientation, how many generations you've been here, or whether you just got here yesterday, we need to come together for this country that we love so much.
And we're moving on here. The next question for Senator Cruz. Details are still being worked out, but Dr. Christine Blasey Ford may testify about her allegations of attempted sexual assault against Judge Brett Kavanaugh. Is there anything you could hear from her that could make you change your vote?
Well, absolutely. And listen, I very much hope Dr. Ford comes next week and testifies before the Judiciary Committee. I publicly called for her to be given an opportunity to testify. I urged my colleagues. The allegations she's raised are serious, and they deserve to be treated with respect.
And he wouldn't vote against Brett Kavanaugh if his life depended on it.
In a way that is respectful, but I also think Judge Kavanaugh deserves a full opportunity to defend himself and to let the American people listen and come to an assessment of what happened. We don't know right now, but we need to give them a full hearing. I will say, though, more broadly than this, this issue, whether it is Judge Kavanaugh, whether it is Neil Gorsuch, whether it is other Supreme Court nominees, reflects one of the many massive divides on policy and substance and record between me and Congressman O'Rourke. Congressman O'Rourke doesn't want Judge Kavanaugh confirmed. He said that before these allegations. He said that after these allegations. He didn't want Neil Gorsuch confirmed. Congressman O'Rourke agrees with Hillary Clinton. He wants liberal judicial activists on the court who will impose their particular policy view. I have devoted virtually my entire life to defending the Constitution and Bill of Rights. I think
Liar.
One of the major issues the American people had before us in 2016 was, what vision of the court do you want? And I believe Texans want constitutionalists on the Supreme Court who will defend the First Amendment, who will defend free speech, who will defend religious liberty. Religious liberty, one of the fundamental liberties that's been under assault. Who will defend the Second Amendment. And I would note, the justices that Congressman O'Rourke would insist upon, like Hillary Clinton, are justices that would undermine and effectively write the Second
Amendment. Wait a minute. He'd insist on Hillary Clinton being a Supreme Court justice? What? You've been drinking again, Rafaelito.
A troubling history of the kinds of nominees that he supported. Someone like Jeff Mateer to the federal bench, someone who believes in conversion therapy, who's described transgender children as part of Satan's plan. People like Andrew Oldham, who could not say whether the landmark school integration 1954 Brown versus the Board of Education was correctly decided. People like Brent Talley, who has never tried a case before. Dr. Ford's allegations should be investigated by the FBI, full stop. There's precedent for that. That's the right thing to do, given the gravity of the accusations. But the senator is right in this regard. Judge Kavanaugh does not meet the bar for Texas to serve on the Supreme Court in a state that is now 50th in voter turnout. Judge Kavanaugh has a troubling history on voter rights protections. In a state that is the epicenter for the maternal mortality crisis, three times as deadly for African American women, Judge Kavanaugh has a troubling history in agreeing that Roe versus Wade is the decided law of the land. And in a state where you can be fired for being gay, his support for civil rights is in question. We need a Supreme Court justice who will decide in favor of people and for their rights that have been established by precedents and under the Constitution. And in Brett Kavanaugh, we do not have that justice.
Representative, that's your time. Senator Cruz.
You know, it was striking. He didn't dispute that he supports liberal activists who would impose the policy he wants.
That's because they are people who live only in your fetid, swampy imagination there, Rapulito. But, you know, who the hell am I? Listen, I've got a few folks brought together on the Skype line. The new Skype interface sucks in a monumental way. Trying to add more, but it's a real pain in the ass. Ron in Raleigh asks, is he using that old chestnut? Is Cruz still pulling that Democrats are the party of Jim Crow? I hope like hell that people understand that those Democrats are now the Republican Party. The party that's 94% white is somehow the party of inclusion? Yeah, I know. I know. But let's run over to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, managed in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, by me this evening, and check in. Let's see. Hey, Steve, how you doing, buddy?
What's going on, Bob?
I hate the new Skype interface.
Yeah, it blows, doesn't it?
I cannot tell you how much it sucks.
Duncan has somehow forced his machine to use the old one, and I don't know how he's doing it, because it just takes over my machine, and it makes me get the new one, so I'm stuck.
Well,
with
it used to be that when a call would come in, there was that little gray bar that said, add this to group.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's gone now.
So how are you adding people? Very slowly.
Manually.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, I guess I'm lucky to be here. And unfortunately, I'm wiped out. I had surgery yesterday. I really don't have a whole lot to add. I'll just mainly listen in. I see you got Tracy and Scott. They should be able to fill in.
Well, hey, you know, you've been kind of tied up and stuff, but
yeah.
I'm trying to see if I can.
Did you get that picture I sent you, Bob? Only in Georgia.
Yeah, I did. Was that was not a joke?
That's for real. No, that's not an onion thing. That's for real. There's a billboard. Let me explain to everybody. It says, "Get your guns and your drugs." One-stop shopping here. Family's welcome. So you can get your Prozac and your lithium and your 357 all at the same place.
Do you mind telling us just where that is?
I think it's near Brasstown Falls. That's really the name.
Because, I mean, that's just a part of Georgia I don't ever, ever, ever want to be in.
Yeah. Avoid it like the plague. Yeah, if you go north on 19 and just keep going north before you fall off the edge of the earth, it's up in that area.
Okay. I've managed to add some folks.
That's good.
And along the way, we'll be checking in. Beto's talking right now. Let's check with him.
One can get to, and that's exactly what it was designed to do. Weapons of war belong on the battlefields, not in our schools or our churches, our concerts, or our public life.
Senator,
you know, all of us have been horrified as we've seen these school shootings.
Yeah.
Santa Fe High School is about a half hour from my house.
But not horrified to do anything about it if you're a Republican.
In the morning when the shooting happened, I jumped in a truck and headed down there. I spent the entire time at Santa Fe High School, that entire day with students, with teachers, with first responders, with parents.
Explaining to them that he was not willing to do a goddamn thing to stop school shootings. But, well, anyway, that's me. Just give us, you don't have to go into big details or anything, Steve, but how you feeling?
Oh, I'm doing much better. Much better. I had a condition, and I don't want to talk about me. This show's not about me. But I had a condition called osteomyelitis, and long story short, Reader's Digest version, I had to go in and get the infection out of my foot. It was pretty intrusive, but it's done. It's behind me now, so.
And are you hobbling around and stuff? I mean,
yeah. Well, Karen's watching me like a hawk. I'm supposed to stay in a recliner with my foot elevated and all that. But it's interesting the way they do surgery now. It's not like the old days where they knock you out cold. And if anybody's facing surgery, this might give them some comfort. They put you in like a twilight phase, and if it's just regional, they give you a local. And I was awake the whole time. I was talking to the anesthesiologist. Now, he told me, you're not going to remember a lot of this. And
I was going to say, do you remember anything you said?
Bits and pieces.
But I mean, if he shows up with flowers, you know, just don't feel bad about it, okay?
I remember they were playing some great music, and I requested some CCR, but they didn't have any, so it's changed.
Play Freebird, man.
Freebird.
The live 14-minute version, goddammit, not that cheesy-ass studio version.
It's really a breeze on a, you know, no pain whatsoever. They've got it down. The way they can control the mind now, it's almost scary. It really is. But enough about me. I'm really convinced that Kavanaugh's going to get confirmed, aren't you?
Well, I mean, if you assume for purposes of argument that the Republican Party has no moral center, no ethics, no soul, no decency, all of which are 100% true, then yeah, he's getting on the court.
He's getting, yeah, especially after Chinless Mitch at the.
Well, and here's the thing, Chinless Mitch would have to have told or would have to have heard from Susan Collins that she was going to vote for him, and he would have heard from, say, Lisa Murkowski that she was going to vote for him, or else he thinks that Heidi Heitkamp and Joe Manchin and maybe Joe Donnelly will carry the water where maybe Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski won't, which would be pretty shrewd because he could protect those two Republicans by letting them say no as long as he knew that a mugwump like Manchin and a mugwump like Donnelly and a mugwump like Heidi Heitkamp would put him over the top.
And then he could continue the mantra was, well, he was appointed by bipartisan, you know, selection. So that's all. They'll keep pounding that home.
Ooh, that's vomit-inducing.
Yep. I mean, knowing what we know, we haven't heard anything from this lady, but I'll bet you dogs a donut she's credible.
Of course, you know. She's credible.
Who would make something like that up and subject themselves to being shred to pieces by these old.
Who begs for an opportunity to go to prison for lying to the FBI? Who does that?
Exactly. And they're going to, I believe they said they're going to bring in a female to interrogate her, for lack of a better word. Is that correct?
Well, if she shows up, yeah, and she's scared to death of that. I don't mean she is. No, the Republicans are scared to death of that because they don't have any women on the Republican side of the Senate Senate Committee on the Judiciary, so they've got to, and it just doesn't look good for them to be smearing another woman, so they'll find some female lawyer, again, with no morals, no ethics, no decency, no humanity, who will, do the dirty work.
I'm thinking somebody of the mindset like that judge, Perino, what's her name on Fox News?
That would be a hoot. Let Jeanine Pirro do it. Sure.
Yeah, she's like half in the bag most of the time. Sounds like she is anyhow. But somebody of that mindset who's that vicious is probably who they're going to unleash. Wouldn't you agree?
I'd say more than likely. Well, it'll be some attack dog from some hotshot firm in D.C.,
Hey, I'm trying to jump in here. Did y'all see Rachel Maddow show last night?
Which part? I mean, I saw a clip.
She said that Montgomery County has no statute of limitations, and that they gave a sizable hint saying that they can't investigate unless there's a complaint filed. So even if it's rushed and he sits on the court, she could well file charges in Montgomery County. So he could well be the first SCOTUS that sits on the court that has these criminal charges filed against him. And
okay.
There's nothing to prevent it.
Yeah, I did see that part, and I watched the clip. And I think we'll probably want to bring Billable Rick in on this. You there, Rick? No, I thought we had Billable Rick.
I see him. I just don't hear
him. I see him, but I don't hear him either. What I'm trying to figure out here is, and you'd have to have the criminal code of Maryland in front of you. And Maddow is usually pretty thorough in her work, but she's not a lawyer. Neither am I. But what bothers me out of her analysis there is that based on what we know so far, the only felony, and depending on how Maryland defines them, the only felony would be like kidnapping. You know, retention of someone, holding someone against their will. Because at most, her account says that he pawed at her, put his hand over her mouth, and tried to grope her over her clothes and turned the music up so no one could hear her scream.
Well, best case scenario, if he gets a felony for kidnapping, can he still sit on the Supreme Court if he's a convicted felon?
Yes. Yes.
How are they going to sink that conviction, though? I mean, digging up evidence after all these years, I don't know if they can do it on just hearsay alone.
Right. What they said in Maryland is true. They can't act without a complaint. And there's no guarantee that if Dr. Ford walked in tomorrow and filed a complaint, that anybody would go and, I mean, they'd invest it. Maryland authorities would be duty bound to investigate, but I'm guessing 99-1 they come back and say, no.
And his friend, Mr. Judge, he's already got his cover. He's half in the bag that whole time period. That's his defense.
Oh, I don't think I think he was in the bag with both feet.
Yeah. I believe that's going to be his defense. I was drunk. I don't remember. I was blacked out. And how could you disprove that after all these years?
Well, there's stuff about Kavanaugh getting getting literally vomiting drunk. Look, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Make no mistake.
Sure, sure.
Many of us have sat in the pews and heard that. You don't necessarily. It is the sexual aspect of the thing that matters.
And the hypocrisy. This is supposed to be the party
and the lying.
Of family values.
The lying that matters. Darlene lets me know, Sheldon Whitehouse said on Chuck Todd's program that Dr. Ford's claim will be fully investigated, and this is far from over. Of course, Chuck Todd did not have the intelligence to ask Sheldon if this could be laying the groundwork for a future impeachment of Kavanaugh once the Dems take the House. Let's remember, and I know Darlene knows this, we're talking about a situation in which you would have to have a majority to impeach in the House, but Kavanaugh, this is not 50 years, 60 years ago now. This is 2018, and Kavanaugh, it's not like Kavanaugh has ever been some sort of real leading philosophical light of the judiciary. He's just another political hack. I had a note from Reverbo earlier, and Reverbo said, this is it. Are you telling me there's no erudite, scholarly, decent man or woman to nominate to the Supreme Court? Nobody like that? It's the freaking Supreme Court, Bob. This place is truly the dregs. And it's true. I mean, there are law school professors who, arguably, without regard to philosophy or ideology, are eminently qualified to sit on the court. There was a time when we tried to find the best people to put on the court. We've had governors go onto the court. They don't have to be a fucking judge from the D.C. Circuit. That's another aspect of the stylized nature of the appointment process, if you know what I mean.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah, Scott.
Earl Warren did a hell of a job.
Yeah, and Earl...
He was the governor of California there back in the day, years ago.
Right. I mean, I was thinking of Earl Warren when I said that. But who's... There's another one.
Let's not forget the whole reason why Kavanaugh is up there to begin with, and that's to get Donald J. Trump out of what, you know, trouble he's in with regard to, I guess, the Mueller investigation.
Right, and after the number that the New York Times did on Rod Rosenstein today, he may not need that anymore. He may not need a Supreme Court justice. Because, of course, you know, Donald Trump says failing New York Times when he doesn't like the story. But he's got to have his hand down his pants over what the New York Times published today. That Rod Rosenstein allegedly suggested he wear a wire to record the president being Looney Tunes and that somebody triggered the 25th Amendment.
Why is that even a news item? Because all that's going to look is like Rosenstein knew what we are all coming to that conclusion that, yes, he needed to be out of here because he's Looney Tunes.
Yeah, but see, this is... I want to be straightforward and candid about all of this. The sword of the anonymous source has blades on both sides, has edges on both sides, and a sharp point. And we have sat and rah-rahed and said, well, of course I believe those anonymous sources, when it was tawdry shit about Trump. And we've said that, you know, the New York Times does its due diligence, and they don't just, you know, they don't just publish stuff from... Some disgruntled White House janitor. Of course this. So don't we have to apply the same standard to this disclosure?
Well,
I'm not saying not believe the source, but even if what the source said is entirely true, what is it to me that makes Rosenstein look like, oh, well, he was up to snuff on what we're now all coming to the conclusion a year later. How does this smear Rosenstein unless they're trying to make the argument that he's biased?
Well, that's the argument, but it's also the argument that Trump has been making that there is a conspiracy against him inside the FBI and the FBI needs to be cleaned out root and branch. So suddenly he has been handed on a silver platter grounds for firing Rod Rosenstein.
And another factor in terms of Rosenstein, when they got rid of Comey, Rosenstein was next in line, and I forget who appointed him, but for a while there, the Republicans were saying that Trump shouldn't fire Jeff Sessions because they're not going to go along with that and there won't be a replacement. Well, if on these on this flimsy evidence, Trump decides to get rid of Rosenstein, that means he can put in a new deputy, more to the liking of Trump and the rest of them, to step in. You know, in other words, it would free up the way to get rid of Jeff Sessions. Two birds, one stone.
This doesn't look like to me anything but... somehow orchestrated on the Trump admin's part to do exactly that. That's the impression I'm left with.
Yeah, because you got to not underestimate these clowns. As crazy as they are, they do now know how to play three-dimensional chess when it suits their purposes. And a lot of the times, they're a step or two ahead of people.
Well, what the New York Times story does, Scott and Megan, is it provides cover. All those, and you know, some Republican senators have said it, you know, you got to leave Rosenstein alone, you got to let Mueller do his job. Well, now they've got cover to say, well, you know, that's what I said before I found out that Rod Rosenstein was conspiring against the president. And believe you me, that is how they will spin it.
That's the argument, Bob.
And so they've got cover to not criticize or not go after or not live by their previous word if Trump decides to can him.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
but
what I'm saying. Trump's going to use anonymous sources because it was used against him. And I think Trump is just savvy enough to say, okay, well, I'm going to, you know, pull this kind of crap to provide exactly the kind of cover to do what I want.
And Darlene in Connecticut says, it gives Trump ammunition to fire Rosenstein, making Mueller vulnerable. Ta-da.
No, but there is merit to the notion that Rosenstein was, pardon me, on to Trump a year ago or more, and the rest of us have been just now coming around the curve. Hell, in the 2016 primaries, knew that Trump was crazier than a trap.
Hey, everybody.
There he is.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, I'm working on it looks like about a 63-page brief right now.
Yeah, it's billable season again.
Yeah, it's billable season for sure. So, I think we've buried Rosenstein, and Mueller so many times now that I don't really, I don't necessarily see him getting fired, at least not until after the election.
I hope you're right.
I mean, I hope so too. And again, Rosenstein is disclaiming that he had said that in any kind of a serious way, as I understand it, you know, as to Trump. Now, as far as this Bart O'Kavanaugh guy, I wouldn't be quite as sanguine as McConnell is about this guy's chances of getting through because.
Why would McConnell say that to the values voters if he didn't feel like he had the votes?
With conviction and certainty.
Well, the thing is, he's
trying to save face, and I don't think the Republicans are nearly as confident as they like to present themselves. But the whole thing stinks.
Yeah, I really, a lot can happen between now and what, Wednesday? When's Dr. Ford going to testify? Wednesday? Has it been agreed on?
Has it been agreed on? I haven't seen it.
I don't know. I mean, there's been a counteroffer. Like, we can't. A lot can happen. You and I know there's a lot of journalists out there that are trying to find out, dig up more dirt on Kavanaugh. And God knows this guy is dirty. I mean, why have the Republicans hidden 93% of his writings, you know?
Did anyone pick up his Yale quote in his yearbook? Did anyone see that? I don't know how true it is. something about how some women need to be beaten regularly like gongs.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right, right.
I'm sitting here like, are you freaking kidding me?
I mean, his wife looks like a Stepford wife. I mean, I hate to say that, but, you know.
Well, I hate to say it, but he looks exactly like the skeevy, bug-eyed, you-know-what, that would do exactly that kind of thing that Blasey Ford is accusing him of. I'm sorry.
He's like a total shit weasel. That's the way he looks to me. I mean, the guy's just, a little punk,
Yeah, he looks like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush.
He does. Yeah, yeah.
And there's one other footnote about Rosenstein. And Trump would do well to get the lesson that Richard Nixon learned some years back, 40-some years ago. Don't piss off a high-up person in the FBI, as Nixon learned with Mark Felt. You know? I mean, yeah, he could fire him.
You know, I'm at a place, Scott, no offense, but, little ray of sunshine and all. I don't think the Nixon era translates. I think we're so, because there were vestiges of decency then. Those vestiges are gone.
Maybe, but
there's definitely some parallels to be made, Bob, though.
It falls back to what Megan said the other night, and I thought this was very insightful about trying to rectify 21st century problems with 18th century reasoning. That statement blew me away. It really did, because that's kind of the predicament we're in now.
Well, one thing to keep in mind, Bob, we needn't necessarily rely solely on decency at this point. It would not be out of the realm of possibility that the outrage of the voter some weeks from now. See, the Republicans, you asked about, why would Mitch McConnell sound so confident? Well, first of all, he's playing to the crowd. There's that. But there's also the element of the Republican Jedi mind trick. They will always overestimate their position and their stance in terms of how things look going forward to this election. They've got shit coming at them from all sides.
To add what they're saying, I think they've got such a hard on for their ambition and ramming their agenda through that they are, I think they're misreading the public, and all it has gotten down to now is playing to their base, thinking that they have it in the bag and their base is all they need to keep it going.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I was going.
Big surprise come November. I really do. Oh, and thank you to whoever complimented me on that. I really appreciate it.
Oh, well, that was me, and I thought that was very insightful, and I get your point. I don't think the founders back then, with all their brilliance and visionary, thought we would ever be in this deep with people this scoundrelous. Was that what you were trying to say to a certain degree?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to say, and I think they would be totally baffled that the restrictions they put in back then as safeguards are now being used to
protect,
promote and put people in that are destroying the very foundation of what they built.
Protect evil, put it, yep.
Like I said, I think they intended us to evolve, and I think they'd be totally astonished if we're clinging to certain things like the Electoral College this late in the game.
Sure, we haven't evolved. In fact, we've devolved. It could be argued that we've devolved, went the other way.
Yes, we're actually quite anti-Darwinian, you might say, in that respect, aren't we?
Yes.
The devolution.
It reaches a point where you outgrow certain things, and then you need to decide if it's going to preserve something important or if it needs to be discarded.
Could I touch on O'Rourke versus Cruz down in Texas?
Sure.
I was thinking back to the first time I became aware of Ted Cruz. And it was back when I had Sirius XM, and there was a debate. I guess I was listening to it on CNBC or C-SPAN on the app on my phone when I was at Target one night. There was a debate against Cruz and the guy he was running against in 2012, a guy named Paul Sadler, who none of you will remember simply because he didn't make any sort of discernible impact in terms of the outcome of that election. Sadler got 3.2 million votes in 2012. Cruz got 4.4 million votes. That works out to 56.6% of the voters went with Cruz versus 40.5% for Paul Sadler in 6 years ago in 2012. Okay, so I mean, I knew then, listening to Cruz, what a disgusting, smarmy, make your skin crawl kind of ass clown this guy was. You know, that was the first time I had ever heard him or heard of him. Well, I got news for people who are wondering whether we will do well in Texas come November. 2018 is not 2012. You know, to quote a phrase that Obama used a lot when he was running in 08 and in 12, fired up, ready to go. Say what you will about the Texas Democrats, they are finally awake, whatever that term is, and they are armed for bear come November. And make no mistake about it.
Are you guys set up for voting, or how bad is gerrymandering down there?
Oh, I'm not in Texas.
No.
I used to be, but not anymore.
This is what gives me concern about Texas, Scott. I think Beto himself said that Texas has their 50th in the nation in voter turnout. So that gives me a lot of pause as far difficulty of him winning. I mean,
but
yeah,
will
I mean,
they be this time is to me the question. Yeah, in 2012 the turnout was 49.7. You may as well say 50% of the eligible voters voted in 2012. But I don't think that you got to remember the Trump effect since 2016. But more than a few moderates or independents, and even some Republicans who lost their minds in 2016, are looking at this guy. It's that old commercial for, I guess, Royal Pudding. The proof is in the pudding, okay? And we've had 2 years of the pudding, and I think a lot of people are ready for a course correction, even in Texas. Then again, I'm the eternal, relentless optimist.
Well, that being the case, let's check in with the debate for a second.
6 years that I was on the El Paso City Council, every single year we balanced the budget. We didn't see each other as Republicans or Democrats. We saw each other as El Pasoans with a common interest in delivering for the taxpayers in our community. Only one of us on this stage has started and run a small business, had to meet payroll every single week, had to go before the bank and try to get a loan to expand that business, had to go out and hustle for new customers and make sure that we kept those who we already had happy going forward. That required balance in a budget and understanding how to make ends meet. I want to make sure that, again, we're not giving away to corporations and special interests. That's what Senator Cruz would do, thanks to the contributions that he's received from those political action committees. He's working for the clampdown and the corporations and the special interests. He's not working for the people of Texas.
Representative, that's your time. And we are at our final question. Wow, this went quickly. And this goes to Representative O'Rourke. We'd like to end this for both of you on a very positive note. And we'd like to ask you to tell us something that you admire about your opponent.
Oh, not that tired
Senator
chestnut
Cruz
again.
Senator Cruz and I were both elected to the United States Congress in the same year, 2012. We both have young children. I know how hard he works. I know how much time he has spent away from his kids. I know what a sacrifice that is to his family. I know that he's doing it for one reason. He wants to serve this country, and he's trying to do his best. We may have differences of opinions on what our destination might be and how we're going to get there. But I have no question that Senator Cruz wants to do the best for America. And he does so at great sacrifice to his family and to his kids. And so I thank you, Senator Cruz, for your public service.
Thank you. And, you know, I actually agree with those sentiments. I would express the very same sentiments back at Congressman O'Rourke. You're right. Being a dad of young kids is hard. I know the sacrifice you're putting in. My girls, every day when I leave for the campaign trail, it's hard. There are a lot of tears in the Cruz household. I'm sure there are in the O'Rourke household, too. That is the single hardest part of doing this. And let me say beyond that.
Well, the thing is, though, there are tears in the Cruz household because Raffaellito's their fucking daddy, but never mind.
Energetic. He believes in what he's fighting for. In fact, I have very much the same sentiments. You know, last year I did three debates with Bernie Sanders, and I expressed this at all three debates, that Bernie Sanders believes in what he's fighting for. He believes in socialism. Now, I think what he's fighting for doesn't work, but I think you are absolutely sincere, like Bernie, that you believe in expanding
Jesus,
government in North Texas. And I commend you for fighting for what you believe in. As you noted, we disagree on the outcome, but you're fighting for the principles you believe in, and I respect that.
True to form.
Before we bring the debate to a close, each candidate will have a 90 seconds for a closing statement. Senator Cruz, let's start with you.
Oh, he
in
walks
November,
out from around the podium
be a lot of things on the
like
ballot.
He's trying to talk to a jury.
Both Congressman O'Rourke and I will be on the ballot, but there's going to be a lot more than that. Jobs will be on the ballot. We've seen in the last 2 years 4 million new jobs all across this country. Paychecks will be on the balance. We've seen Texas employers like American Airlines, like Southwest Airlines, like AT&T giving bonuses and pay raises. Your 401k and your savings will be on the ballot, as we've seen the pensions of millions of Texans going up. You know, Texas understands a very simple formula. When you cut taxes, when you simplify the tax code, when you lift the burden on small businesses, it's good for Texas. It expands jobs. It expands opportunity. And there is a fundamental choice in this election. It's a choice between, we're seeing nationally socialists like Bernie Sanders, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and indeed Congressman Beto O'Rourke advocating for those same policies. Full-on socialized medicine, which, by the way, they call
socialism.
Let me say to all the seniors in Texas, Medicare, you paid into it your whole life. You're counting on it for your health care. What they're proposing is putting every single person in this country, including illegal aliens, everyone in this country, into Medicare without paying for it. That would bankrupt Medicare. There is a choice for this country. You know, there are also states that implement the kind of policies Congressman O'Rourke supports. High taxes, high regulations, open border states. You look at California, which is hemorrhaging population. You know, the cost of a one-way U-Haul from California to Texas is more than 300% the cost the other way around. In Texas, we understand that if you get government off the backs of small businesses, Texans do well. I've fought for that for 6 years. I've kept my promise, and I will always stand and fight for 28 million Texans.
That is your time, Senator. Thank you. Representative O'Rourke.
Yep. Let me again begin by thanking SMU, NBC5, the Dallas Morning News for making this possible tonight. Let me thank everyone here and everyone who's watching right now who has invited me to your communities, who has invited me into your homes, who's invited me into your lives, into your hopes and your dreams and the very high expectations that we are together setting right now for this country. At this deeply divided, highly polarized moment, you have reminded me that before we are Republicans or Democrats or independents, we are Texans, we are Americans, we are human beings, and we're going to start acting that way. President Harry Truman reminded us that this country was not founded on fear. Instead, we are founded on courage, on imagination, and an unstoppable determination to do the job at hand. I've never heard a better description than that one for the people of Texas that I've met in each one of the 254 counties. We are not running against anyone. We're not running against anything. We're not running against another political party. We are running for this country, by and for each and every single one of us. We are going to use the challenges that we face, being the least insured state in the country, where the number one provider of mental health care services is the county jail system today, to a state that leads the way to ensuring everyone is well enough to live to their full potential. A state where 50% of the teachers are working a second or a third job just to make ends meet instead of being able to focus on those children before them. We're going to lead the way in having their backs and making sure that we don't privatize public education money and send it to a private school. Whatever the challenge is, I know that we are up to the task, and I want to thank you for inspiring me, giving me confidence, giving me hope, encouraging me like no time in my life. I am grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Thank you. And that concludes tonight's Senate debate. We'd like to...
I don't think you could
make
have a
crush on Beto. Seriously. Are you trying to make me crush on him?
Well,
weak.
You know what's amazing out of that? Just in those closing statements, it becomes abundantly clear that... And I thought it was brilliant the way Beto pivoted to Harry Truman, saying we are not a country founded on fear. Because that's all that Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, had to offer, was fear. Ooh, be afraid of socialism. Ooh, be afraid of the aliens. Be afraid. Be afraid. Be afraid.
Yeah.
You know, FDR said we have nothing to fear but fear itself. Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, says we have nothing but fear. And Beto...
Well, and that's the thing that O'Rourke has going for him. In tonight and in other times I've heard him speak, he's been right on point, not playing to his base, but playing to people who can appreciate where he's coming from because it applies to them. He doesn't do the Cruz thing and bitch about what perceived wrongs there are. We are, and here's who we are.
And here's what we want to make it better.
That's how we can build on that.
Yeah.
It's a whole different way to go about it, and that it makes me glad deep down in my rock and roll soul to hear a Democrat. And I mean, he didn't sleepwalk through this debate or through other campaign things I've seen him do, and that's great. That's why I have a little hope.
Well, indeed, and it is 8 p.m. exactly right now. So let me mention where we stand on finishing the week. We are $25 away from having it all the way down to $100 to go. If we raise 25 more bucks, Darlene in Connecticut has said that she'll finish the last 100, and we'll be done for September. We'll be done for this week. We'll be done for September. We will have trashed Fitzwalker Stan, and we will have a week of fundraising free radio. And that is awesome beyond my ability to say it. So hopefully between now and 9 p.m., 25 bucks will roll in, and we will go from there. And
done, Bob. Done.
Okay.
Then, I owe you 40 as well, so it'll be 65 for me, okay?
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you. Thank you, Billable Rick. Thank you very kindly. So we're done. How about that? It's another Friday on the Front Porch, community-made miracle. And I cannot thank you enough, because this means that, you know, we stay on the air for another month. And that is, well, that's magnificent. Thank you. Who dinged? Did somebody bring a bell? That wasn't me.
That was a nice little bell.
Well timed.
Yes, it was. Ding.
That's like the money bell.
I think that may have been my tablet.
Right?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
No, that was perfect.
Let's see.
What, the bell?
Yes. It's reiterating the point that Bob gets to chug on another month.
Dave in Indiana Stan says, Ted Cruz forgot to stop being a Canadian citizen, not only when he was sitting in the Senate of the United States, but when he was running for president of the United States. Send him back to Winnipeg. Your buddy, Dave in Taliban, Indiana. Thank you, Dave. And thank you, Arthur, for jumping in. Thank you very kindly, Arthur. Anatole said, woohoo, let the Festivus bells ring out. Oh, and I have to issue a correction, by the way. Lee in New York City caught up with me after the program. Scott, after telling, I may have told you a falsehood. After telling you that Coke Zero was made with Splenda, you know, sucralose.
Yeah.
He and Randy in PA both got in touch with me and let me know that. No, apparently not.
Yeah, because the last time I checked it, because I've been looking for options.
Probably something worse.
Since this problem with Diet Right in the 2-liter bottle availability. I've been looking for, and actually Pepsi, Diet Pepsi, had a formula for a while, for about a year and a half, where it was sugar-free, caffeine-free, almost like Diet Right was. And now Diet Pepsi has switched back to that damn aspartame.
Wasn't that Pepsi One?
Well, it might have been. It was the Pepsi in the white label, and it even on the label said, you know, aspartame free, and that lasted all of maybe a year and a half. And they, for reasons I don't understand, they switched back to aspartame, which I don't know. Maybe this is the universe telling me to give up pop altogether or go back to sugar. Jesus, you know.
You almost be better off with regular sugar at this point.
Yeah, well, if you can find a soda that has sugar and not corn syrup, or what is that stuff you can get
fructose corn syrup.
Yeah,
Mexican soda, Scott.
Yeah, I know. You can get Mexican Cokes in the 12-ounce or 6-ounce that still have sugar.
Cane sugar. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
There's a variety of Coke that has a green label that has 35% less sugar and is largely sweetened with stevia. And it's pretty good.
Yeah, that's what I was going to recommend, stevia.
Does it have caffeine?
Yes.
Because I like to drink soda during my waking hours, and that becomes a problem if it has caffeine, especially at night.
Monk sugar was an excellent alternative, and they pulled it from the market.
What was
it? It was called Monk, M-O-N-K sugar, made from the monk fruit. And I couldn't find any negatives about it, and it's just disappeared. So that's discouraging. They finally get something that won't hurt you.
Steve, I just happened to see that in the store last night, so it hasn't completely disappeared.
Oh, well, good. See if you can dig up any negatives on that. I couldn't.
Okay. I've got a follow-up question about the Texas election come November for Senate. In looking at these stats for 2012, I noticed that a Libertarian candidate and a Green Party candidate snagged a little over 200,000 votes in 2012, which wouldn't have helped the Democrat in terms of beating Cruz, but he would have come damn close. Does anybody know if there are third-party candidates for Senate this time in Texas?
I don't. I do not.
I don't either.
I think it's quite likely that there is, Scott, because of a fractured political system these days.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I have nothing against third parties, but in this race, 200,000 votes for O'Rourke could mean that Texas elects a Democrat to the Senate for the first time in, 25 years?
So a reverse Jill Stein effect is what you're trying to...
Well, the same thing that happened.
Yeah, I love third parties. I love third parties when they're fucking Republicans. I mean, let me just be clear about that.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah, I can definitely drink to that.
In this state in Montana, there's been some underhanded donations to the Green Party here that are probably from the Republican Party, so that's...
Oh, without a doubt. Sure. Yeah, that was some of the skeeviest stuff in this election cycle, Irwin.
Yeah. So that kind of stuff goes on, too, but...
Bob, you want to hear skeevy. How about the Secretary of State counting the votes? That's what we got going on here in Georgia, and this is going to be... counting the votes... Number two, he came out adamantly against paper ballots, and we're not going to have paper ballots. Now, why do you think any intellectual reasoning person, why do you think he doesn't want paper ballots? So he can tilt the table.
Sure.
Do you have the option to request an absentee ballot?
You can do that.
I would go early vote.
Yeah, but collectively, not enough people are going to do it, though, Scott. I mean,
in most instances, absentee ballots are only counted
if it's
close enough for the absentee ballots to make a difference.
I think it's only within 1%, 1.5% of the vote, isn't it?
It depends state to state.
I don't know if mail-in is an option or not, but I heard that is the most reliable way to get your vote counted.
Well, I haven't gone to a polling place since 2012. Every time there's an election, a couple of weeks, 3 or 4 weeks before the election, the ballot shows up. I look over everybody, do my homework, fill it out and send it in. I mean, of course, now you're at the tender mercies of the Postal Service, but even that is, you know.
I'm glad Karen
is anyone afraid with the absentee ballots that their vote won't get counted? Because I've heard way too much hinky stuff going on with that.
Well, somebody just said they only get counted if it's down to 1%.
I thought it was recount if the results are within 1%, 1.5% of.
And that's kind of similar to provisional ballots, too. Or somebody was telling me provisional ballot, you might as well just write your vote on a cocktail napkin.
Oh my God!
Well, let's remember. Wasn't Georgia one of the states that was probed by Russian actors?
I think you're right, Bob. I'd have to do a little research, but I think you're correct.
Bob, and stop telling us how other people rigged the vote.
Damn it!
Stop telling us about the Russians, Bob.
Electronic voting with backup paper ballots.
We know Vlad is cuddly and lovable. Stop it, Bob.
And I think we're the only state that doesn't have a paper ballot. How effed up is that? In a race this tight.
She's actually leading, isn't she, in the polling?
In the polls, yeah, but you wait. Wait come election time.
Yeah.
Just watch and see, man.
The only way to come up against that, Steve, is for an overwhelming number of her voters to show up and bring two or three people.
Right.
Because there comes a tipping point, even with fucking around with the software or whatever, that there's a certain tipping point in terms of turnout that even farting around with it.
Right. She would have to crush him. If she would crush him on a 3-1 basis, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
But I don't think she's going to, logistically, I don't see how she's going to pull off that big of an upset.
Of course, now if they're holding elections down there like Putin wants, there was 99% turnout, and I got 98.9. Go me.
Well, when you got the fox guard in the hen house, Brian Kemp's the Secretary of State.
Yeah.
Wrap your head around that, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Y'all have fun down there.
There was a state, I guess Ohio, there was a guy called Blackburn or Blackman.
Ken Blackwell.
Oh, that son of a gun.
He basically gave Bush the election in 2004.
Y'all totally missed Delaware, the recent story that came out in Delaware, in my neck of the woods. Because apparently our House Representative, Lisa Blunt Rochester, is the incumbent. And the Delaware Republicans, for some reason, got this dude called Scott Walker as her opponent. And this dude just like completely lost his marbles to the point where the Delaware Republican Party chair called Lisa Blunt Rochester, who's a woman of African-American descent, an Aunt Tom. He called Biden out for being a racist. He called Harper a racist. I mean, the dude just like lost his crap.
And there's another sleaze bag out of South Carolina today. And having mentioned South Carolina, let me bring Todd in. Hey, Todd, are you there?
I'm here. How you guys doing?
Welcome to the front porch, man.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, Todd. Hey, Todd, how's it going, man? Can you use some paper towels?
you had to
say Todd, that water is wet. That water is extremely wet.
Damn, it's wet.
I'm so glad to hear everyone. And I'm going to say this. Steve, you are a trooper. Man, you sound like you've been to the spa. You're talking about you've been to surgery. You sound great.
Keep plugging on, man. I'm
glad to be here. I'm just.
So Todd, did you hear about the?
Hey Todd.
Tracy, I have a pork chop for you.
Todd.
I was just listening to the white people talk, but when the brother came in, I'm like, okay, I can talk now.
Wait, don't go there. Wait a minute. I heard somebody say something about an uncle, an aunt Tom. That set me off there. Oh my God.
That's great. I'm in Southern Delaware, and every time I go to deliver papers, I got these homemade signs that are the size of the sun with Scott Walker, his name, court, and it has Trump. And I'm sitting here like, well, what are y'all trying to do? Are you voicing your support, or are you trying to hook them up?
Well, didn't Delaware...
Hold on, Scott. Hold on. Okay. Tracy was actually trying to talk.
Oh, yeah. I'll shut up now.
I'm just glad to hear from Todd because, you know, I think it's been a couple of years since we've actually been, or at least a year that we have actually been in the same, you know, on the same call. So it's just nice to be in the same spot. Hey, you guys, I got a letter this afternoon, just now, 20 minutes ago, from Dianne Feinstein because I wrote to her about Kavanaugh. And I'm reading the letter, and I'm looking through, and nowhere does it say that she is not going to vote for Kavanaugh. She says, I have many concerns about Judge Kavanaugh's record and his views. I also strongly object to Republicans withholding millions of documents related to Judge Kavanaugh's years at President George W. Bush's White House. Blah, 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 limited number, blah, blah, blah. I applaud Dr. Christine Blasey Ford's courage, especially as we have seen that her decision to come forward publicly has subjected her to attacks, blah, blah, blah. But not once does she say, I'm not gonna vote for him.
Well, Tracy, I don't think there's any way she's gonna vote for him. She's up for re-election. She's gonna really take the heat if she votes for the guy, you know?
Yeah, so. She is up for re-election. But De Leon is so, I mean, he's so behind her in the polls. I mean,
yeah, 30 plus points or 40. Who
30
knows
point points. So she knows she doesn't really have anything to worry about.
Well, yeah, but I don't.
But that's
don't,
not going to make her vote for him.
No, she's not going to vote for him.
I don't trust her.
She's just not pure enough,
I guess, right?
No, that's nothing to do with being pure. I'm just tired of her old ass.
Well, I know.
Tracy, I wonder if I got the same letter you did, because I wrote to her a couple of months ago, and she said, replacing Justice Kennedy with someone who guarantees a conservative majority on the Supreme Court could roll back the progress we've made across these issues. And let me see if she comes right out and says it. Well, she does kind of make it keep it nebulous. I mean,
right,
but I can't imagine it either,
but come on, it just makes, because my thing is, just say you're not going to do it. I don't, you know, you're dancing, you know, you're saying you applaud Christine, you know, Dr. Ford, you're concerned about Kavanaugh. Okay, if you're so concerned, then say, I'm not voting for the motherfucker.
Yeah, well, I don't think she'd use that term.
Well, okay, well, but... why not?
But she I wish she would. Ensure, that's what I was.
It would ensure the black vote.
have we been following today the tale of Brett Kavanaugh's evil twin and how that came? I mentioned it in the program last night.
Oh yeah.
No, you were serious about that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still going on?
Oh yeah, it has spread. It has spread like pink eye.
Well, whoever started that had to publicly apologize for it. Last I heard.
Well, it's too late now.
Toothpaste is out of the.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's Whalen. Yeah, Whalen has been advising. You know, this guy named Whalen who comes from a Wingnut Welfare think tank. The first word of the name of which is ethics, the Ethics and Public Policy Center or something, EPIC, EPPC.
Which means the exact opposite of that word, obviously.
Precisely. It's pure Orwell.
Yeah.
Well, he's been advising Kavanaugh on his confirmation the whole time.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, God.
A conservative legal commentator on Friday, this according to the Washington Post, via Elise Vebeck, Emma Brown, and Robert Costa, A conservative legal commentator on Friday denied communicating with the White House or Supreme Court nominee Brett M. Kavanaugh about his theory that the woman, yada, yada. I have not communicated at all with Don McGahn or anyone at the White House or Judge Kavanaugh about the topic of the Twitter thread, Ed Whalen said. And then we go through a rehash. Here's the funny thing, though. On Sunday, Ford noticed that even before her name became public, Whalen appeared to be seeking information about her. That morning, Ford alerted an associate via email that Whalen had looked at her LinkedIn page, according to the email, which was reviewed by the Washington Post. LinkedIn allows some subscribers to see who views their pages. Ford sent the email about 90 minutes after the Post shared her name with a White House spokesman and hours before her identity was revealed in a story posted on its website. You got that?
Yeah, kind of like Roger Stone. This Absolutely. Is so-and-so's turn in the barrel. You remember that?
Yeah, but I mean, so how does he know to go looking for her when nothing's been made public?
I think that the FBI has a leaker.
Well, the same way they knew how to get 65 female signatures stating what an upstanding guy was back in high school when he went to an all-male school.
About this.
And these women had no idea.
Thank you.
And anybody want to posit how it was? I mean, is it just somebody's out there registering domain names with GoDaddy based on a hunch 15 months before before Kennedy announced his retirement? 15 months before that, somebody registers confirmkavanaugh.com.
Whoa.
Now this isn't conspiracy theory. This isn't paranoia. This is via a whois lookup.
Is this this isn't from the same people who brought us loose change as to the 9/11 thing, right?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, isn't this just getting a little like a run over skunk in 90 degree weather in the middle of the road on like day four?
I was just about to say, Bob, that it stunk to high heaven, but I think that you got the better
skunk
analogy.
In the middle of the road, stinking on the highway.
You know what it
could be?
Garbage with fish in it, but you know.
You know what it could
my
be?
Karaoke skills.
Yeah, hang on. I want to go back to Todd for a minute because we've got more Republican sleaze. And this is in Todd's backyard. You there, Todd?
I'm here. I'm listening.
Okay, groovy. I forget exactly which maggot congressman this is, but you know they all look alike to me. They all sound alike to me. He shows up at a stump thingy, whatever, and announces he's sorry he was late. But he thought he was going to get called back to D.C. because of late-breaking news, because Ruth Bader Ginsburg had just announced that she was groped by Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, God.
Oh, okay, that would be in Rock. If I'm talking too loud, no. That would be in Rock Hill. Okay? That is really, and God forbid, right, that is 30 miles south of Charlotte. Which is a normal place. You understand? When you're in Charlotte, you don't even know you're in the South. Okay? Charlotte is like normal. But not to say the South is not normal. See, now I'm getting in trouble.
No. I understand. But you know, there's no knee slapper among Republicans like a good grope joke.
Now, I saw that clip again today on the MSNBC website, and he had the Kiwanis. Banner behind him.
Yeah, it was a Kiwanis meeting, and the Kiwanis Club had to come out and say, this does not reflect the values of the Kiwanis Club. Well, yeah, it does, you fuckers. You invited them.
Yeah, it does. That's where the bosses of where you probably work, anybody, if you've got a decent job in a small town, you work for somebody who's in the Kiwanis.
Or the Rotary, okay. Or both.
There you go. You understand? These are the people who are on board, so... This is what we're dealing with. Plus the fact that shit was not funny. What was funny about that?
Kind of beats me.
Crickets.
You know, while this is, I can't tell you how excited I am to be on Bill Miller's line. I mean, and Tracy, 2 years. I remember the last time I talked with Tracy. This is exciting. That's all I can say. This is exciting.
I'm everybody.
I mean, this is, and I'm concerned. I'm concerned about Sparky because he's more reliable than the post person, you know, than the mail carrier. I don't know what's going on. I have a question about Kavanaugh, though, seriously. If anybody saw that hearing near the end, what they thought was the end, they asked him, do you want, I'm paraphrasing, do you want to ask to thank anyone, you know, at this time? And he went through this whole litany of stuff, and his wife had to remind him to thank her in front of everyone. Did anybody catch that?
No, but why am I not surprised?
No. Well, repeat that?
Okay. They thought they were at the end of his proceedings. When I say his, Kavanaugh's proceedings, and they asked him, you know, is there anyone you want to mention, who helped you, blah, blah, blah. And he went through all his mentors and this and that. And his wife had to chime in, and me. And he said, oh, yeah, my wife, my lovely wife. And then he kind of just went on with his little diatribe. I mean, he didn't, like really, the first thing you're supposed to say is my wife and family, number one.
He didn't thank Jesus?
Putting up. Pardon me?
Yeah. I think he thanked Jesus and all his apostles before he thanked his wife.
Well, yeah, see, he didn't even do that. That's what I think. Can you imagine? So listen, now I've been looking at this guy because I've been checking him out. And you know what? First of all, I don't think he's that bright. He's one of what we used to call a burnout. I really do. I believe he's a burnout. I think he just got pushed in school. Because Kamala Harris turned him into a blathering idiot within 30 seconds. When she said, think about your answer.
Yeah, she nailed him. She did a great job of crossing
to the wall. Absolutely.
Hey, Bob.
I almost forgive her for her role in Al Franken's demise.
Yeah,
I was just going to say that,
Rick. But I've got a question. A couple of times this week, Kavanaugh has spent hours at the White House getting coached or prepped for whatever happens with these additional hearings next week. I would be amazed, astounded, gobsmacked if the Republicans or someone on that side was not doing, not public polling, but private polling to get a pulse in terms of what people think of Kavanaugh since all this stuff has come up. Because, you know, if the Republicans are known for anything, they're known for killing their wounded and bailing on anybody who looks like they're going down in an unpleasant way as opposed to a pleasant way. But does anybody know if they would have to be doing private polling to get a sense of where he stands in the minds of people?
Well, there is some polling out, Scott. I don't know if Bob mentioned it or maybe it was another program to listen to. I think he only has like 31% of the people want him to be confirmed in 40% opposition, which is like Bork territory, apparently.
Yeah, was that the Wall Street Journal poll from a day or so ago?
It could have been.
Yeah, I saw it mentioned during while I was engaging in my filthy little habit this morning.
Yep, that's where I seen it too, Bob. Yep.
Don't you just feel dirty after those 3 hours, Steve?
Like you got to take a shower, yeah.
Yeah,
for me to take a shower is a pain in the ass. Now I got to wrap up my pick line and put on a shower cast. So
yeah, some people shower before work, some people shower after work, some people shower after listening to Washington Review or whatever.
Washington Journal. That's mine. Todd's gig. Buddy Todd. Yeah. Jeez.
Washington Journal, man. Look. Oh my God. Oh my God.
The roots come out of the woodwork. I'll send Bob a quick message. Rube alert. Turn on Washington Journal. You got to.
Anytime you think America has arrived, you get your ass up at 7 in the morning and turn on Washington Journal, and you will quickly notice how fucked up this country is.
Okay, you know, Todd, there are some people who may only tune in for Friday on the front porch, so this would be an appropriate time for you to reprise your award-winning impression of the average maggot calling Washington Journal.
Oh, God. Who's got the popcorn?
It's Washington Journal. Am I on now? Hello? Who is it?
Caller. South Carolina, go ahead.
Hello. Greta, I done been watching you now, woman. I done seen you. I don't know, you leaning left now. I thought y'all was saying the road, y'all leaning left. And every time I turn this goddamn station, y'all beating up on Trump. Eric, the bad Trump done this, he done that. You can't say nothing good about this man. Now, goddamn it, watch this president. You got to respect the president. Now look, that man done grabbed, you know what he done grabbed? So what, that man done grabbed that? What's the problem? Now look, woman, you probably one of them lesbians. You look like you kind of one of them lesbians in the goddamn way. I don't know why they got you on there in the first place. And they got that goddamn brown man, what his name, Pedro? He ain't no leak. He ain't illegal in the goddamn way. What the hell he doing on that station? What the fuck? What's wrong with y'all? Y'all got some illegals and lesbians? Y'all need lesbians? You can't tell me y'all don't need lesbians. I damn not turn the goddamn TV off.
I'm dead.
No, but wait. Sometimes some of the callers, man, I'm telling you, they must start drinking at like 2 in the morning. They are.
No, you know, I know, Todd, and I wish I could cue it up right now. There's that one. That one line from one of my favorite songs, the title track to Donald Fagen's The Night Fly, where, you know, I'm Lester the Night Fly, hello Baton Rouge, so you say there's a race of men in the trees, you're for tough legislation, thanks for calling, I wait all night for calls like these.
Yeah, but see,
those folks that get up, that start drinking at 2 in the morning, those are the ones you live for.
Or they've been up all night. They haven't went to bed.
Well, now, I not to paint with too broad a brush, some people refer to starting drinking at 2 in the morning in preparation for C-SPAN, Washington Journal, as show prep.
Yeah, but hang on. I was so transported by Todd's having been possessed by the spirit of maggotry that I forgot to do something. There, Todd. Give me a chance. I don't know why y'all can't give Donald Trump a chance. Good man.
What I want to know: what medicine or medication or intravenous drip do they have the hosts of these shows on that they can sit there looking as impassive?
Dude, that is some of the finest Peruvian Thorazine anybody can find.
Look,
I've been accounting. You took 45 calls from the left and only 35 from the right.
I'll tell you one thing. Don't ever play poker with Pedro. I'll tell you that right now.
You see those panel doors they have? They have these gurneys, and they just lay people down like, don't worry, it'll be okay.
Pedro would not rub his nose if he was sitting there with a royal flush in his hand watching some dude go all in. No, Pedro is ice cold.
Pedro is a sadist. He wishes he could hit these people over the head with a stick.
Comes on every day?
Yeah, what, Tracy?
C-SPAN, 7 a.m. before a.m. your time.
Yeah, you'd have to do
it. Well, no, opening show every day with a gem from the Washington Journal. I feel like there's like a whole host of things that we're missing out on.
Well, you can podcast it. Go ahead, catch up.
It's not fun for me to sit there and listen to it myself. I need to hear Bob's commentary.
Well, when it comes to Washington Journal, it's Steve and Todd all the way. I mean, I will not work that corner.
Well, I don't know if Steve or Todd. I don't know if Steve or Todd have since the Washington Journal.
I think I heard you call one. It's been a while, but yeah.
Yeah, about every two and a half months, I'll call in because I'll get rubbed the wrong way by these people. And I'll call in with the most salient, coherent thought that you could possibly
have.
They
cut you off.
No, they let me go on because.
Do they ever air someone
no, you do, Scott. The last time I heard
on his
Scott.
Quarters, because that would be just absolute gold.
Well, no, he actually, the two or three hosts that I've talked to or called into over the years have actually, I guess they see it as a brief respite from the crazy, you know? No, seriously, and I don't mean to toot my own horn, but.
I think it was Greta the last time you called, wasn't it, Scott? Wasn't it Greta?
It might have been. I believe it was, yeah. It's been a few months.
Scott,
I'm due for another
I remember, I think the last time I heard you call, you had all your facts laid out, and it was like a breath of fresh air. And it was like, oh, I can breathe.
I know that dude. I'm telling Karen. I know that dude. Go, Scott, go.
I think he needs to call in one more. Tracy?
I'm on their website. I'm on the website, and I'm looking at the.
Call in one morning, girl. Seriously.
Yeah, I'm not getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning for no motherfucker. That's out. No.
Okay, Tracy. Well, wait. Here's the good news. Everything they do, they happen on podcast. So, it's nice to hear it live, but. They have everything on podcast, and I remember Bob, and I'm not trying to, like, dominate, but I'm saying Bob asked me one time, like, wow, we should have, like, a website of all those crazy comments that people make, but they already did it, because there's a woman named Heather McGee, and I don't know if she used to work for Move On, but she's worked for some type of activist organization, and so this is, you know, like a young black woman, and so someone called in, and they said, you know, Heather, I'm racist and prejudiced, and I don't want to be that anymore. Can you help me? And this dude was totally serious.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah, and it's they document, like, all the crazy, some of the really crazy calls, they will document on there, but they do have a podcast. So I just wanted to put that out there because, you know, we pay for that, you know, from our cable.
Tracy, do what I do. You don't want to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning? Stay up. Because 4 o'clock will show up sooner or later,
yes,
and by that time you're primed. Especially if you've been, you know, belting back vodka martinis, like I am wont to do from time to time.
Yeah, 4 o'clock is only a number, Tracy. Think of it that way.
Wow. It's 7 a.m. somewhere.
I could actually, you know what, I'll be on the East Coast in a few weeks. My brother's 50th birthday, and I'll be in Atlanta. Uh-huh. And actually, my flight gets in at like 6:15 in the morning, so I will be up, and I can watch the show on my phone.
Okay. Steve up and have a beer in the morning there,
do that, please.
That'll be the day they're talking about Peruvian fruit flies or something, man. Way off topic.
Stop telling us how to lose sleep, Rick.
Okay.
Resistance is futile.
We are Grob.
Oh my God.
It's pathetic. I brought a pillow with me to my office and a little mat, like an exercise mat. And I just I crash and get a couple hours of sleep, set the alarm. I woke up like before the alarm went off, you know. And I was going to get three. I only got 2 hours. So I got up and started working again. So I've got this, it's already almost 17,000 words document I'm working on. It's nuts.
Hey, hey, John, are you there? John Britovo just jumped in.
Yes, sir. I just got here.
Oh, John. Well, I wanted to check in, brother, and find out get your debrief on the debate.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Sat there and watched the whole thing. Ted Cruz was his usual lookout. Democrats and how evil and how we just hate Trump and that's the only reason we're in this. And Beto pretty well stuck to his eye on the future, on what he stands for.
Is it just me? And I'm not, I don't want to jinx anything, John. But it's hard not to look at Beto O'Rourke and think that if he wins this seat, we're looking at somebody running for president about 2024.
I'm telling you, Bob.
I mean,
I love the way this guy talks.
He's got the goods.
Yes. Yeah, and he doesn't change. He doesn't blow in the wind. He sticks by his answers.
He damn sure didn't run away. He didn't run away from his response to the, to the flag issue, and he made Rafi Alito eat it when Rafi Alito tried to equate it with flag burning. I mean, yes. he is sharp. Damn, he's sharp.
I mean, to tell you, buddy, I'm on fire for him, Bob. I really am. I don't know what I'm going to do if he does not win. I'm going to be heartbroken, buddy. I'm going to be proud of myself.
Hey, John, are y'all trying to make me crush on Beto down there?
I'm telling you, baby, the whole America needs to have a crush on him.
You're going to have to take a number, Megan.
I'm telling you.
Well,
is he married?
I've seen him on the late shows. You know, he did Stephen Colbert. He sang with Willie. Come on, he was on the stage with Willie Nelson.
Oh my God!
Yeah, and as the Blue Hen just pointed out on to me on Twitter, I heard it. I don't know if y'all did. We actually were running it at the time. I think he is the first politician in American history to quote The Clash.
Oh, the Clash. Wow! There you go. That is cool.
Yes, he did, because he accused Rafi Alito of working for the clampdown.
The clampdown.
Wait a minute.
I came in a little late. I was outside. I was hauling hay until I got up there. Probably missed the first 15 minutes.
Oh, John.
We're disappointing you, man. I'm telling you.
What you doing hauling hay on a day to day?
I had a show to do. I did my show and then had to go to get hay, and the first place was out. The second place was out, and I knew what that meant. That means I had to go all the way into Corpus and the Nailers to go get hay.
Well, hang on just, okay, for those of you not familiar, and by the way, this will screw up, for anybody who listens to this program via YouTube, this will screw it up, but okay. Yeah, this is The Clash from London Calling, okay?
Okay.
Which is, you know, punk band, which means Beto probably knows every word to every song.
Yeah, probably so. You know, wow. He sang in a band.
Is that
there you go.
There it is.
There it is.
Wait a minute. He actually plays guitar and sings?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Oh my God.
He was in a rock band
when he was younger.
He was in a punk band, toured the country in a van, you know.
What?
Yeah, he used to tour around all over the place.
Y'all trying to make me crush on my first politician ever.
I'm telling you, this guy's worth it.
Don't feel bad. God. Don't feel bad about crushing on O'Rourke. While Steve was talking about C-SPAN, or Todd was talking about C-SPAN, I was on the FTD website sending Beto a forget-me-not bouquet. So
there you go. We appreciate that.
And the thing about
a whole lot of anonymous phone calls saying, I love you.
I would be very surprised if O'Rourke has not done martial arts sometime during his life.
Because don't tell me that.
Did you
see him riding a skateboard?
Well, no, everything that Cruz tried.
He drives a motorcycle.
Everything that Cruz brought against him, Beto O'Rourke used to bash Cruz over the head with his own talking point. That's the magic of this guy.
He's a master of jiu-jitsu. What are you saying?
Well, look how classily, you know, that stupid question at the end about say something nice about your opponent.
I hated that shit. Are you shitting me?
Yeah,
don't want to. I would have just said I don't want to.
But see that, but this
you can't say that.
The line could not have been made any more clear between Beto O'Rourke and Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America.
I keep trying to remember those words, Bob, but I just can't pull it off, buddy.
I will make an MP3 file just for you, and you can just press a button during your show anytime you need it.
I need it because I've been quoting you, buddy. I've been quoting you.
But the thing is, so Beto says, hey, he's a family man. I can dig it. You know, that's cool. We got disagreements, but, you know, we both love America. Awesome.
Oh, my God.
Then,
you hear Ted
then,
response?
Then the Zodiac Killer responds.
Yes. Yeah, a little jab here, a little jab there, you know, throw in the
by
word
saying,
socialist.
Well, yeah, I would say the same thing about Beto. There have been many tears in the Cruz household, and I bet there have been in Beto's home, too. And then says, and I respect him just like I respect that godforsaken socialist Bernie Sanders, who Beto is just like. He's probably Bernie's nasty little bastard child from one weekend down here when he was trying to set up a vegetarian co-op in El Paso.
Pretty good at that.
Well, here's how I know that. Here's how I know that.
I just hate that fucker. I do.
Tears in the Cruz household. Here's how I know that there have been tears in the Cruz household. One of his kids has a poster of O'Rourke on her ceiling. So,
are you serious?
No, I've got. What do I know?
Yeah, did you see that little short clip they've been running where Cruz tries to kiss one of his little girls on the cheek, and she's like,
no, yeah, that's beautiful.
Ooh, cooties.
Yeah,
that's exactly. You're some kind of a monster or something. Yeah, I've seen it.
John, I was wondering about Beto. Is that his real name? That's kind of unusual. I was just wondering.
His real name is Robert. Now, if you live in a Hispanic community, a heavily Hispanic community, Robert is Roberto. And so are a lot of other names that end in that same way. You end up with the nickname Beto. Instead of calling you Roberto, they just say Beto.
Oh, wow.
And see, Rafaelito tried to make an issue of that. And,
yes, he did.
And Beto was ready and produced a family photo of him when he was three, wearing a shirt that reads B-E-T-O. Beto.
That's the nickname.
I mean,
I want to hear Ted explain how he got Ted out of Raphael.
Thank you.
I was ashamed of the fact that I was of Cuban heritage and I wanted to fit in. So I named you know how Bobby Jindal, whose real name is Piyush, he wanted to fit in America, so he picked the name of one of the Brady Bunch. Well, I wanted to fit in too, so I chose one of my heroes' names and started calling myself Ted after Ted Bundy.
Yeah, that's
Bob, I have a question.
Ted Bundy, that's Ted Cruz.
I have a question.
Yeah, Todd, go ahead, man.
I was just listening earlier before I had to run out. When you first started playing that debate live tonight between Beto and the Cruz character, who looks like a piece of Play-Doh, I don't know what he looks like, but how is it that he's trying to make a right out of a wrong, talking about the officer? He's talking about race.
Here we go.
How can you not live in your own damn house and get shot dead and try to make it like the officer was, well, they just made a mistake? You know, Black Lives Matter. That's the reason we got fucking Black Lives Matter. That kind of shit, right fucking there.
Yeah.
You can't even be at home. Yep. Then he'd be like, well, he had weed in his apartment. So what?
That was almost an afterthought. And I was just appalled. Like, The man was in his own damn house.
Explain that. I don't. I mean, look. How do you? I don't understand that. Now you mean to tell me it would be the same if a black female officer shot a white dude dead in his apartment? And apparently, you know, these look like they look like what I've seen, like the nice upscale place that you can park on each floor. You know, in the kind in that, you know, Dallas has got some money. It looks nice. It's a nice looking place where you can park on each floor. But how, I'm just going by what I heard on this program tonight. Okay. Now, Ted, he said, well, I don't know, we're jumping to conclusions. And then he went on and, you know, talking about support for the police. We all support the police, but we don't support bad police. That person does not need to be a police officer. If they can't, they were not on duty. They were not on duty.
Look, okay, Todd, I'll be honest with you. I'll be real honest with you. The whole thing skeeves me out, especially with the Kavanaugh crap, because essentially law enforcement is telling me that the black man in his apartment with the pot or the, you know, what happened to Alton Sterling, he was selling illegally CDs with the open carry license in Louisiana, is more of a danger to me than people like Kavanaugh. That's essentially the message they're giving me, and it makes me sick to my stomach. Or, God forbid, people like Brock Turner, they do actual physical harm to people, and people just, you know, that let's blame the victim, he's not responsible, he was drunk, this, that, the other thing. But you got, you know, the black person who's not doing really much of anything, shoots dead, and then they try to villainize, and I'm just sitting here, I don't understand it either. It just it makes me ill.
I couldn't believe what I was hearing, and this was live because Bob piped it in. You know, he took a few minutes in between trying to get the Skype up and everything else, and I started thinking, wow, to me in my mind, you know, but obviously I'm biased. Like, wow, Cruz has just sunk himself. How could he possibly win? So I'm sitting back now. I want to see what happens because. That's kind of frightening. How can you defend something like that? Of course, that officer—they don't need to be a police officer anymore. I'm sorry. That, you know, do something else. You know, be a firefighter. You want to help people, be a firefighter. That's all I had to say.
I have to apologize. I got cut off. I lost connection. Who are y'all talking about?
Well, the Botham John.
The one that was shot by the young lady up in Dallas.
Yeah, the woman who, for some reason,
the one who committed murder.
Right. And has been charged instead with man's laughter.
Yeah.
And they weren't even going to do that.
Bullshit, ain't it?
And they weren't even going
to
do that.
And then they try to turn around and smear him by, oh, look at here, we found drugs in here. Look at this, he must be a terrible person. And by the way, did y'all notice he was black? Which, by the way, would, you know, automatically qualify for you for, you know, committing some crime that you're guilty of. That's why I said.
They're saying that they're essentially saying the black man is doing not much of anything at all.
And how much more of an upright citizen can you find in this guy?
And the white dudes like Kavanaugh, who's, you know, raping women, or Brock Turner, who's raping women. And I'm just like, I'm over it. Yeah. Or God forbid, the crazy white dude that takes his... automatic weapon and shoots up a public space.
Yeah, and if I may, you know, because I mentioned it the other night, this brutal incident of white-on-white crime, and I'll say again, I don't know when are we going to do something about all this white-on-white crime. It took place in Abilene, John. Did you see this? I mean, I this thing just blow. I mean, it's astonishing. A pair of neighbors arguing over who could put what in the garbage can.
God.
Oh, really?
And shirtless old daddy is strapping, and shirtless, pasty-faced, doughy son runs back in the house and brings out a 12-gauge.
Are you shitting me?
Jesus Christ.
And the neighbors are screaming at each other. The one guy's wife is videoing the whole thing, tries to get in between the two of them. wait for
oh,
it.
Oh, no.
And then when she gets between the two of them, they shoot past her and murder the dude in cold blood.
Over garbage.
Over garbage. And then the cops show up and arrest them, charge them with first-degree murder, and the judge admits them to $25,000 bond each.
What is that? What is that?
Which means that if you hire a bondsman, all you got to do is put up $2,500 and you're walking.
Yeah, you're out, baby. You're out.
Now, take all of that. Take all of that, and the reason I mentioned all this white on white crime is because you're good, God fearing, upstanding, Bible believing, Christ centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian white folks are constantly prattling on about, yeah, they won't take away our guns, but what about all this black on black crime? Chicago, 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 MAGA, MAGA, MAGA. And,
well, you know them boys is just good old boys.
Yeah, and that's what it is. It's just like the beginning of Dukes of Hazzard. Just a good old boy.
Just good old boys.
Blowing away another good old boy.
And who are the mass murderers? Who are those people?
Yeah,
they're white boys, baby.
But I mean, if it was a pair of black dudes, one of them blowing the other away, how much would the bail be for that man in Abilene, Texas?
The town would be on fire for a lynch mob. Are you shitting me?
And he'd be under $1 million bond.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yep.
I mean, well, I'm in West Virginia, justice. John. You're in Texas. Am I wrong?
Yes, sir. That's the way it is. You know, that's how come we need this discussion on judicial reform. It is because anybody with a brain can see it. And then it's those who wish to keep it going, keep it status quo, are those that argue against it, you know, a change in what keeps that cycle going.
Well, John, beyond that, I mean, not in addition to judicial reform, this is all the more reason for the Democrats to take over the Senate, because McConnell was crowing, if a turtle can crow, about they've put 26 judges on the federal bench in Trump's so-called administration.
He's sticking judges all over the place.
Yeah, and if any of these cases ever get up to that level of a federal appeal, sure, you can kiss your chances goodbye for justice.
Yeah, they've been stacking the judiciary here for a while now. For the last year and a half, they've been. There's stories of him trying to put people in the court that barely pass a law exam,
or have never tried a case.
And by the way, just as
it's not about that. It's about having somebody there that you can rely on to give you the verdict you want, regardless of the facts.
Speaking of Kavanaugh, just a quick backtrack. James in Illinois reminded me of this. So I want us to think back to the confirmation hearing when Kamala Harris brutalized him on cross, Kavanaugh, about the guy he knew but would not disclose. And at one point she said, well, Judge, I think you know who we're talking about, and you don't want to say. Well, it turned out that was true. He knew exactly who she was talking about. And of course, he perjured himself. Well, apparently, there's this thing, and Rick can back me up on it, that lawyers talk about called pattern and practice. You know, you can't use one instance of something to prove that somebody does something all the time.
But if
you've got two or three instances of that something, it becomes pattern and practice.
Right.
Right. Whalen, the guy who allegedly came up with the evil twin theory.
Oh, yes, the one that worked, searched Google Maps in Willow.
Whalen was advising Kavanaugh, and Kavanaugh's lied again. Kavanaugh, just like he knew who the lawyer was that Kamala Harris was talking about, Kavanaugh damned well knew who the woman was. And he gave Whalen her name. That's how it came that she was searched by him before her name was ever even made public.
I smell a rat.
The hell.
Did Whalen ever?
A bunch of rats.
Was Whalen ever a writer for primetime soap operas? Because if this business of evil twin doesn't fly, the next one he'll pull out of his ass is, well, just like Bobby Ewing, we've all slept through the past 2 years and none of this happened.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Right, and Brett Kavanaugh will next be seen stepping out of the shower, right?
Exactly. Right. Bingo, yeah.
We don't know. It was all a dream, baby. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question about Brett Kavanaugh.
This whole way they're treating this whole thing with Dr. Ford is a classic. Well, little lady, you step up here and just go ahead and tell your story. Okay, you're done now. Read along now, little lady, and we got a vote to take.
Yep.
That's the way the Republicans are handling her. They just
you know what say, you okay, know what ticks me off about this whole
story.
Thing.
You know, they've already demonstrated that their mind's made up.
They're acting like this SCOTUS seat is owed to him.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
It's not owed to him.
It's the Georgetown prep seat on the Supreme Court, Megan. Come on. We know that.
No,
there's another one.
It's just like they felt that Hillary Clinton was owed the Democratic nomination. It was her turn, so that's why she was the nominee for the
Kavanaugh will get on the court. I wouldn't doubt Hillary's gonna be charged with some crime later just so they can get her. They'll come up with some bullshit. I swear it goes in that deep. But this whole thing with Kavanaugh, they know they have to get this done. Hell or high water before the midterms, because I wholeheartedly believe this way materialized. We're going to take the House, and then it's going to be a different game. Lord, I hope we take the Senate. I have more confidence in.
Well, if
House,
all of this is not inspiration enough to get people out to vote, there is no sufficient inspiration. But again, especially where the House is concerned, but frankly, where the House and Senate are concerned, I restate. My firmly held conviction that some sort of 50-60% Democratic turnout is not gonna get the job done.
I don't want a win. I want a statement. I want a message sent.
I want a stomping.
Yeah, that's
it. I want a landslide, whatever y'all want to call it. An avalanche, a tidal wave. I don't care what it is. A message has to be sent that this is not right.
Once upon a time, me and a buddy used to go up to WVU Mountaineer. We used to go up to WVU Mountaineer games, and on the way up, and he always said this. And the first time he said it, he was sincere. After that, he knew he was just deviling me. But the first time we went up, he said, "Well, you know, I don't care who wins or loses. I just want a nice close game." And I looked at him and I said, "Bub, I went to WVU. I want to see a stomping. I want the game over.
Right.
I want the game over 5 minutes into the first quarter,
baby.
And I want to spend the next 55 minutes drinking and celebrating the victory."
That's right.
Fuck a
That's
close
right.
game.
Everybody down deep. That's what we want. We want to win. Everybody does.
But my point, John, is that it has to be a victory so convincing that it cannot be overwhelmed by any sort of shenanigans. Or finagling, or cheating, the only way to beat all of that back is to turn out in overwhelming numbers so that they cannot steal it.
That's the key.
Sorry, preaching.
Yeah,
I apologize.
Chuck, we're out here waving the pom poms every time I turn around. I don't want to miss a day of my show. As a matter of fact, I've stepped up. I've started doing a few live because we're getting down to the wire. And if I have to juggle peanuts with my, well, whatever.
I'd like to say I'd tune in for that, John, but I can't promise. I said, you know, juggling peanuts. I'd like to say I'd tune in, but I can't promise, my friend. Depends on how much tequila I lay in for.
I've been seeing you cooking your butts, Bob.
Hey, Bob's Big Butt Weekend was a rousing success.
Out there with the food porn.
Big Butt Weekend.
Yeah, I seen it. Big butts too, Bob.
They were. Those were some
they
world.
Were, buddy. Yeah. They look good, buddy.
I had big butts, and I cannot lie.
Oh my God.
He got big butts.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Is Todd still there?
Yeah, Todd's there.
Hey, Todd.
I'm here. Yes.
Can
crazy.
You hear me? Yep. I've been trying to, because I've been wanting to be able to talk to you, like, you know, phone to phone or whatever. So I was just trying to get a hold of you. I don't want to scream out my phone number on the phone or whatever, but email. Are you on Facebook?
I'm not, but I will give it to Bob, and maybe if Bob is kind.
Okay, I'm looking at it here, Tracy. I will give you Todd's number.
Okay, cool.
I will awesome. Do. I will do that. I will do that right here, right now.
I'm thinking about coming down to South Carolina soon.
Well, we're happy to have you. We are more than happy to have you.
Don't be thrown by the Pennsylvania area code.
Oh, I know.
You know what, Bob? That thing pops up. It pops up, right. And that's how it started. You know, sometimes, anyway.
Bob, you raise a very good point to talk about. We've got to have an irrefutable turnout come November. And if people are not exactly clear on how voting results can be manipulated, there's a couple of documentaries. One is called Hacking Democracy, and the other one is called Stealing America. And they will give you a primer on exactly how these voting results can be fucked with, to use a technical term, to favor the GOP. Hacking Democracy and Stealing America.
When you go to looking at it, it's scary. I mean, it makes a paper. I'll dip my thumb in some ink. How's that?
You know. Yeah, hold up your purple thumb, John.
Yeah.
Well, and just one last thing before we go, Darlene sent something along, and you know, not that I'm a prophet, and not that I put on the tattered purple robe with the frayed appliqué moons and stars, and will thee kiss me in the dark, baby in glowing dark paint across the, and my magic eight ball with the crack, my magic eight ball with the crack screen that says answer hazy, ask again later, but I am confirmed in what I said early on in our conversation. Apparently, according to sources inside the White House, Donald Trump is about to go on what they are calling a deep state jihad.
Woo!
Based on the New York Times story about Rod Rosenstein.
Gonna send out presidential.
Lord Jesus.
And just like
everybody, put your seatbelts on, buddies.
And just like we said, he's going to use this story. Other people who have told him not to mess with Mueller or Rosenstein are using this story as cover.
Yep. Maybe we need to put a stop to this stuff. Look at all of this stuff. Did you hear people boo when he brought up the Justice Department out there in Las Vegas? Are you shitting me? He's trying to turn this whole country against every institution, and they're doing it.
He's trying to, John. I'm as a bit of a student of history, I am absolutely convinced that he is trying to foment a civil war.
I'm telling you, Bob, listen to what he's talking about and who he's talking to. You know, when he came out with this little idea the other day about, oh, we're going to send out a presidential notification on your cell phone. We're going to get you a presidential alert straight from Donnie. I don't trust this man because he has been, and people around him, Fox News, Limp Dick, and all of them, they've been talking about that. If impeachment comes, or if we try to take Donnie down, or you need to be able to take up your arms and come to protect the president, are you shitting me? What are you advocating there? I keep asking that question. You're asking people to pick up their weapons and do what? Kill their fellow Americans? That's what
What about another scenario? What if he's trying to rile those people up just so he has an excuse to call out the National Guard and declare martial law?
Martial law, you know, there.
It's not going to matter who picks up arms at that point.
More legal aspects of that, but as I've been in a country where martial law was in effect, I was in the Philippines before Marcos was thrown out and all that stuff, and we had martial law. And let me tell you, if a politician can get away with pulling that, they will in a moment of crisis and using that as an excuse to escalate the whole goddamn thing. There are legal things, I believe Rick and Bob could tell you, that stand in the way of that.
But if
yeah,
federalize the troops first.
He wants to use the gunned up nature of the right wing to try to intimidate people away from the polls and away from being active and away from exercising their rights. And with that,
that is the way the Republicans, they lie, they cheat, they gerrymander, they try to intimidate the vote, they try voter suppression, whatever nasty trick.
If you can do it to keep the wrong people from voting, Republicans will do it. Well, John, I thank you for taking time to pop in, and I thank you.
I'm sorry I was late.
Oh, no worries, no worries. Thank you, Irwin. Thank you, Megan. Thank you, Billable Rick. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Steve from Georgistan. You just keep getting better, brother. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for joining in. Thank you, Todd, over on the stress line. Thanks to everybody who jumped in and made a Friday on the Front Porch community miracle by finishing fundraising for the month of September. There will be no more fundraising appeals during the entirety of next week. Thank you so very, very much. I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaged in this little program, however you do. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later now.